Tops of Weeds is the leading brand. While it feeds at every level, the grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced.
Inspiring the enemy to inflict further damage, harm, otherwise, on the members of the armed forces of the United States, our coalition forces, and indeed the vast infrastructure of civilians that are trying to work in support in the rebuilding of Iraq.
Meanwhile, Democrat Bill Nelson, the U.S. Senator from Florida, told reporters yesterday that the photos should be released.
Even though they're not going to release them now because it's evidence in a criminal trial, I think eventually they're going to leak out, and the best thing to do would just get them out and get this thing behind us.
Florida Senator Bill Nelson. The feds say they warned the young American from Pennsylvania who was beheaded by Islamic militants in Iraq. The FBI issued a statement saying that they told American contractor Nicholas Berg that it would be in his best interest to leave Iraq. Amid their grieving, the family of Berg has expressed shock that the government is denying that their slain loved one was not in the custody of American authorities for a two-week period. Still unknown is why he had been detained by Iraqi police, during which FBI agents had questioned him about his work three times. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Honey, this stuff is useless. I can't get this shower clean.
Well, try some of that other stuff instead.
A good dose of this ought to do it.
What is going on in here? You didn't mix those two chemicals, did you?
I don't feel so good.
People don't always use common sense. Fortunately, there's a healthcare company that does. United Healthcare. Make fewer copays for maintenance drugs online. We fill gaps in care others might miss. And when you call, a real nurse is available 24 hours a day. United Healthcare. It just makes sense.
Mary, can you overnight these to Boston?
Sure. Do you want them first thing or...
It's a meteor and it's coming right at me!
Not many things knock you out like a migraine.
I suppose you'll want to take the rest of the day off then.
But you can knock out a migraine with Ralpax. Ralpax allotriptan hydrobromide relieves migraine pain and symptoms such as nausea and sensitivity to light and sound. For some people, it starts to work in 30 minutes. Ask your doctor. Call 1-866-3-RALPAX or go to RELPAX.com. Ralpax. Don't let a migraine keep you down. Only your doctor can decide if Ralpax is right for you. If you have certain types of heart disease, a history of stroke, TIA, or uncontrolled blood pressure, you should not take Ralpax. Very rarely certain people, even some without heart disease, have had serious heart-related problems. Talk to your doctor if you have risk factors for heart disease, such as smoking, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol, or if you're pregnant or nursing. Certain medicines that are potent CYP3A4 inhibitors should not be taken with Ralpax, so talk to your doctor if you're taking other medicines. See our ad in Fitness Magazine.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello. Relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec? Nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from her.
Plus, Laura Bush, the politician, doing ads to sell her husband. Right now, I'm joined by Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to pretend to overcome my kitty grief this morning. My little cat Butch passed away this morning, and I'm sad. I'm sad about it, you guys.
I imagine so.
Yeah, I grew up with animals. This one was young, and I think it had a heart problem, but it was the best cat in the world. She was a cat named Butch because I thought she was kind of, you know, Butch.
Cat. Oh, wow.
She carried herself kind of in, a male-y kind of way. But, I've grown up with animals, and my mother was a great lover of animals and also a killer of animals, my mother. She was the one that used to – it was weird. Can I just tell a quick story as we
– please.
Because apparently this is heavy on my heart. And it's weird. I know it's a horrible thing, but, you know, your personal life takes precedent over global problems sometimes. And I feel a little selfish and self-centered, which is unusual for me. That is really mean. That is really mean. Who's doing that?
Yeah, well, it isn't anyone in
Chris,
this room.
Chris. You can't do that. Uh-oh. You can't do that. Really, really.
Come on, you want to ruin the show, Chris?
That was so in bad taste, Matt.
Actually, his cat was called Bandar.
Uh-oh.
Chris, he's not so quick on that sound effect.
Chris used to be my friend, and I can't believe that he would be that insensitive. What screwed you up, man?
Hey, man.
Why don't we get your mother on the phone?
Get the story. Tell us the story.
So my mother.
Yes.
My mother, we had many dogs, many cats, and I remember this one time where I came home from college, and I was going to stand on my own 2 feet, and I said, Mom, look, I'm grown up now. I'm not going to run any errands. I'm here on vacation. I work hard at school, and I don't want you to leave me any little notes to tell me, what to do during the day. And the first day I'm home, the first day I get up, there's a note on the counter that says, this is the last note I'll ever write. Please take Raglan, the dog I grew up with, to the vet and have him put to sleep.
Oh, wow.
Like, is it like my mother's so insane and intensive? She's like, could you just run this one last errand and kill the dog you grew up with?
Wow.
So on some level, I have a strong heart in matters animal, but
yeah.
I am really sad about my little cat. And I'm also sad about, a lot of other things. But what I was saying is that, because I'm so sad about my cat, I know this poor kid, Nick Berg, got beheaded, and it's an awful thing. But, this morning, there's some part of me that's like, yeah, but my cat's dead. Isn't that selfish, or is it human? What do you think, Riley?
It's humanly selfish.
And now they're saying about this guy, the FBI visited him 3 times while he was being detained, and it's become very suspicious, as to, are they trying to set him up as, maybe he's, he was a bad guy? Are they trying to, spin this? And I just read somewhere else on the Free Republic. What is that name of that website? I got it right here. The FreeRepublic.com, which lists enemies of the state, so to speak, within the Patriot Act, that Michael Esberg, Nicholas's father, who's a teacher and also a co-signer on his business, Prometheus Methods Tower Service, was on their enemy list. So is it possible that, they held this guy because they suspected him of being a terrorist or anti-American?
Well, it even gets worse than that, because there's a dispute as to whether or not he was ever actually in U.S. custody. In fact, the Berg family is sticking to its guns and saying he was detained for 13 days by Americans, where Dan Senor? CPA guy, Coalition Provisional Authority, is saying that he was never in U.S. custody either before or after his detention by the Iraqis.
So
isn't the family, it's all very confusing, this story. The more I read, the unclearer it becomes. But these are based on, the family's conclusions are based on emails, I think, sent by Nicholas from Iraq, right?
Yeah.
And, it will be interesting to see whether they can clear up this story and whether, email and digital photographs, basically, technology is going to be to the Bush administration really what, audio tapes were to the Nixon administration. I mean, all these things that are coming out that could look very bad.
I got a question, the guy. It's a weird thing. The whole series of events, just that, why would you go to Iraq? And I'm not blaming the victim in any way. It's just as a person, he went to Iraq without having a job.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to look for a job in Iraq, which doesn't say much about the U.S. economy, number one.
That
he
had to go.
But he wasn't affiliated with anybody, and he just went there. He must have been a real thrill seeker and into the adventure of it, because that's a very scary thing to do. And I have to imagine that his parents said, look, don't go.
Well, he was young, single. It's some mixture of money and idealism and entrepreneurial spirit. It's some combination of those three things, I think.
He and his dad, by the way, were not of one mind about the war. Michael Berg opposed it.
Yeah.
Nick Berg thought it was okay and actually supported President Bush. Now, authorities, again, with the CPA, the Coalition Provisional Authority, say that Nick Berg was offered a flight out of Iraq to Jordan on April 10th, 4 days after he was released. He reportedly turned that flight down to stay in Iraq.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of exactly why he was offered the flight, under what circumstances he was offered the flight. He did. I read a report that said that he turned it down because he was nervous about the actual trip to the airport. That there had been some firing on vehicles that were heading to the airport.
Yeah.
He didn't want to make the trip because he was scared he'd get hit.
But what was amazing is he was frightened about that, but said he would rather proceed overland on his own to Kuwait. I mean, if you're in civilian clothing, an American with no guard, no translator, on your own in Iraq, that is really risky.
I'm scared to leave my house at 2 in the morning in Queens, and there's nobody around. I mean, this kid has some serious nads on him, some big cojones, I say.
But the twist, isn't it, Riley, that the family is saying that what actually exposed their son to a more serious threat to his life was the detention.
Yes.
Because he was held during the period in which the fighting really kind of blew up around Fallujah and other places, mm-hmm. and that's why he ultimately became a target. So they feel that they have some kind of case against the U.S. administration.
But a target for who? Am I missing something? Like a target for the U.S.? I mean, or just a target in general?
No.
A target by Iraqi insurgents who the anti-Americanism became so huge,
right.
and the situation so volatile during the period in which he was in detention,
right.
that ultimately led to his becoming a victim.
Michael Berg said yesterday in an interview with the AP, quote, Nick died for the sins of the Bush administration.
Well, that's clear in the sense that, you know, Al-Qaeda wouldn't have been in Iraq hadn't it been for this war that Bush has, created in the situation there, making it a sort of vacuum for anti-American insurgents of all kinds. And there wasn't really an Al-Qaeda-Iraq connection before this. And so on a very logical level, I think Michael Berg is justified mm-hmm. in what he's saying.
On the home front, both President Bush and John Kerry sounded similar themes in expressing anger over Nick Berg's execution. Here's the president.
There is no justification for the brutal execution of Nicholas Berg. No justification whatsoever.
John Kerry spoke in Orlando just yesterday.
Nothing excuses it. It's an act of terror. It's a barbarian act that reflects the sort of, you know, I mean, look at the reporter, Mr. Pearl, who was beheaded long before the prison situation took place. This reflects an attitude and a willingness by terrorists to live outside anybody's values.
Now the Bush administration, I think you made reference to this earlier, it's faced with a quandary. It's going to try and use, and has already tried to use, Nicholas Berg's murder to show, quote, what we're up against in the war on terror.
Yeah, they're going to politicize it. And I have to say that, you know, unfortunately, you know, Nicholas's father is also politicizing. I mean, you know, that it is coming from both sides in some respect, you know, so... You know, it's a delicate thing to see how, you know, obviously Michael Berg is upset, you know, but he immediately blamed Bush and then Bush. And it's just the momentum it picks up in the media is going to be really what's going to tell that tale.
But the whole thing is politicized. I mean, Bush has politicized the war.
Otherwise, right.
why dig in your heels and refuse to fire Donald Rumsfeld? Why insist on everything that you've done has been right? I mean, you're clearly putting your political agenda and your political survival, it's too early, isn't it, mm-hmm. for my vocabulary, survival ahead of U.S. principles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's politicizing it now because the Bush administration is the most politicizing of anybody.
Wait a minute. Politics ahead of principle? Politics ahead of principle?
That should be...
Unprecedented. happened before.
That should be his campaign slogan. That should vote for Bush. Politics ahead of principle.
Well, you know, since you mentioned Donald Rumsfeld, he's another one that's facing a quandary, and now we know exactly how he decided to deal with it. His boss, the president, maintains that June 30th date for a handover of power to Iraqi authorities will stand, but at the same time, he's coming under a great deal of pressure on Capitol Hill to explain exactly how that's going to take place. He was in front of the Senate Appropriations Defense Subcommittee yesterday asking for that $25 billion to continue to conduct the war, and he kept getting pressed. Ernest Hollings and other people on the subcommittee kept saying, well, wait a minute, you know, we'll give you the money, but what is going to happen? Who are you handing over power to? I guess he didn't know because he's apparently now in Iraq.
Well, yeah, you know what the money's for? He should have said, oh, that's, you know, we're just going to keep that money on hold because, you know, Syria's up next. And we want to have a starting fund. You know, we want to have a nest egg for Syria. But what's he doing in Iraq? We don't know. He just went there.
It's a surprise visit, supposedly, to calm the storm over the abuse scandal and to lift the morale of American troops.
What's he going to go to the Iraqi prisons and just walk around? How you doing, fellas? Sorry. You okay? Give him a little pat on the back. I'm sorry. Yeah, I saw the pictures. Very horrible.
Myers is with him, by the way, the chair of the Joint Chiefs. But he didn't go alone.
Yeah, is he there to make sure that the kid is still on the bicycle? I'll talk about that when we come back. We're going to have the President's Palm Pilot, plus we'll have a live report from Iraq. And also I'm going to reprimand Chris for mocking my grief, playing a cat noise in my sadness, bastard, right here on Air America Radio.
Mom, Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
way. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love, usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Today at 5 and 6 on Eyewitness News.
The loss of devastation, it's not right.
Co-workers dying young from the same thing.
When the dead list came, it was name after name after name.
Eyewitness News' Jim Hopper investigates an oil company in our area.
The whole place is leaking like a sieve.
Plus at 5, when spammers steal your email address, Eyewitness News stops it from happening to you. Join Diana Williams, Sade Veteran-Moi, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah.
It's my first time meeting her, Cameron Diaz.
You and Justin lived part of your life in the tabloids.
Yeah.
What do you think they want?
I think they're crazy.
You are the It Girl.
Plus, Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Antonio Banderas,
and Hollywood legend Julie Andrews.
The stars of Trek 2.
Don't care.
Next up, today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Cold Ease Lozenges, clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Cold Ease's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Cold Ease Lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Cold Ease Nasal Spray.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional for copy charge.
We're back. It's Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. I am Mark Maron. Good morning. It's Thursday. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
Sue Ellicott.
Good morning.
We're trying to get our Iraqi connection on the phone, Gayath Abdulahad, but we haven't gotten him yet. It's sometimes hard to get through, but before we were talking about what elements of Pete Berg. No, he's an old friend of mine. Nicholas Berg.
And the Iraqi prison scandal, because now Donald Rumsfeld, who's on the ground in Iraq, and we'll find out from our guest a little bit more about that, but now, you know, the Bush administration has not been really forthcoming about saying that they would release these pictures that the Senate saw yesterday to the public. Now Rumsfeld has come up with the perfect solution. He's arguing that there are legal issues involved in releasing these pictures.
Yeah, even better. He's arguing that he would be happy to release them all to the public and just get it behind us. But you know what? It's the lawyers who have stepped in. Like, oh, could you imagine the sigh of relief that went up in the White House? They'd be like, phew, the genius lawyer has come to us with a legitimate reason for blocking them.
I saw some of the senators. They were all talking about how disturbing they were, and some of them, you know, like Frist. What's Bill Frist?
Bill Frist, Senate Majority Leader.
I believe he was, you know, trying to hide his erection after coming out of the photo session, saying, you know, how horrible it was. But you know, some of them were interesting, and he had never seen some of the activities before. And then he said, "I have to go to the bathroom."
Wow.
What was that thing you were reading?
I didn't see that particular report.
Well, read the picture. Describe that thing we were talking about.
No, there's a piece in today's New York Times about, you know, lawmakers emerging from the viewing of photographs. And I mean, to be honest, they don't really have anything that they can say apart from that's appalling or I am stunned. Or, I mean, everything I imagine is a comment going to their local newspaper that will be the first comment that anybody reads in, you know, the Arizona paper. This is Trent Franks, Republican of Arizona, who's a member of the House Armed Services Committee. And the New York Times quotes him as saying he was especially offended by a photograph in which a prisoner was sodomizing himself with a banana. I mean, this is just horribly, horribly humiliating and kind of really shocking. And, you know, I don't want to see that photograph. But
can we admit, though?
But some of the comments are quite banal. I mean, Mr. Frank says, my conclusion is that that was probably coerced somehow. I mean, no kidding. I mean, how... I very much doubt that was a voluntary act.
Not in that context, but it is voluntary in other contexts.
And
I'm saying that on some level, maybe somewhere in
one that I want to know about.
The secret dark unconscious of some of those, you know, repressive sort of, you know, Christian Republicans. There was something that just sort of went, ooh, that's kind of hot. No, bad. Bad thought. Bad. This is all bad.
You know what they spent the most time doing?
What?
Making sure that they looked sufficiently grave when they came out of this S-407 and the cameras were on them. They wanted to look like they were upset.
But do you think they were faking that? I just don't see how anybody, you know, whatever their political affiliation is, could sit through that and come out and not be absolutely stunned and repulsed. I mean, I had to...
What about morbidly...
I couldn't finish eating my breakfast when I was reading these reports this morning. It's like, oh, I just can't get through... I can't get through one article on this right now.
But stunned and repulsed, but, you know, I mean, morbidly fascinated is also a reasonable human response to those pictures. So, yeah, stunned and repulsed, I agree. But, I mean, the reason why everybody wants them released on top of, like, informational reasons and what it implicates about the people in charge is that, like, are there more? Can we just see some more?
You think?
Yeah.
Of course. People, like, why are there traffic jams when there's a bloody car accident? You know, why? Yeah, I mean,
dreaded rubbernecking.
Yeah, of course. People are like, whoa, oh, my God, let's go back around the block.
I'm horrified. But that is, I think, what these folks... you know, these are professional politicians we're dealing with here.
Yeah,
the people,
the best of the best, yeah, Riley.
The people who really, I mean, a lot of these people really, I think, have to kind of screw themselves up to show any emotion at all about anything other than running for re-election.
Manufacture the emotion.
Manufacture what they need to make sure that people think that they're sufficiently outraged, so they say when they go into the voting booth,
there's proof,
and they'll vote for them because they did look sufficiently outraged.
But this might be a genuine case where, you know, ironically, the emotion is genuine. I mean, they spend their whole time being so circumspect or kind of faking stuff, pretending to like kissing babies when, you know, who wants to do that? That this I think is kind of genuine, stunned reaction.
I don't know, man. When I saw Rumsfeld,
I'm too cynical then.
When I saw Rumsfeld, how hard was it to look at him manufacturing humility and sadness and some sort of like contrition? I mean, you know, I really believe that a lot of these guys don't care about this. I believe that this is just an obstacle in the road to success in Iraq to them. They're trying to trivialize it. Rumsfeld is now trying to say that like some of this stuff was allowed. Yeah, some of it was clearly allowed. I mean, you know, we didn't decapitate any of them.
Well, the problem was some of it clearly was allowed. I mean, there are all sorts of reports out in papers today about the CIA and coercive interrogations and how the FBI was so worried about that they basically told their senior officials not to get involved.
Was inserting bananas and glow sticks a gray area in the Geneva Convention stipulations of, you know, of torture? I mean, it's like, I don't know how they can justify any of it, even if it was allowed. The pictures exist. They're heinous. And, you know, I think a lot of these guys are just pretending to be upset because they're protecting their own ass.
Well, they're saying it's heinous. And what they'll do is show try these seven people that they've got nailed already. They'll demote people like Janice Karpinski, and they'll probably put something in Ricardo Sanchez's jacket.
Doesn't she look?
And then they'll try and move on.
Doesn't she look like she had the right job? I don't want to be like a guy that like judges people on their looks, but I mean, she was overseeing.
Go ahead, be a guy to judge.
Did you see the picture of her?
I've seen footage of her.
I'm surprised that she couldn't keep things in control. If she had boots on and a riding crop, it seems to me that she could do anything.
Well, she didn't do what she was supposed to. And, the other thing is she had maintained for some time that she had no real experience in military intelligence, and that turned out not to be exactly true.
What do you mean?
In other words, she did, in fact, she served in a military intelligence unit.
So she knew
what was on her way up to the top.
And now Lindy England is, they're all trying to do this sort of I was just following orders thing.
Yeah.
She's really smug about this, too, a little bit. She's sort of she won't give the name of the higher-up that gave her the order to stand there in front of the picture. I mean, I got to be honest with you. Okay, maybe she was asked to stand behind the body pyramid, but was she asked, was it an order to go, smile, give the thumbs up, wait,
no.
Put your cigarette back in your mouth, dangle it like it's cool when you're holding the leash.
That's improv. Improv, straight up.
I read a report that she said that whatever she did, including the, smiling and waving her cigarette, that she was told afterwards, good job, keep on doing that kind of thing. And I think this will go further up.
It better.
I mean, look at this today. There's a piece in the Wall Street Journal that says that before the American troops photographed all the abuses that we've seen in the last couple of weeks in the photographs that against Iraqi prisoners, their commander issued guidelines allowing interrogation techniques, including sleep deprivation and isolation in the presence of military dogs if written permission was given.
Muzzled or unmuzzled?
You know what? I just can't face the details.
What about forced masturbation? Is that in the Geneva Convention of...
Very much doubt that.
No,
definitely not.
We'll see that in the Baghdad Convention Center when they put this guy on trial. Coming up, the presidential palm pilot, the liberal agenda, and doublespeak from the commander-in-chief when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has made a surprise visit to Iraq just on the heels of a Senate hearing yesterday on the issue of prisoner abuse and the murder of American citizen Nicholas Berg. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Richard Myers, says the impending transfer of power in Iraq will be like someone learning to ride a bike. Myers says at one point you take your hand off the seat and see how far they can go on their own. Pension money is on its way to the former workers of bankrupt energy giant Enron. Labor says Secretary Elaine Chao yesterday announced that ex-employees will receive collectively $66.5 million as part of a settlement agreement. And India's prime minister will resign in just a few hours from now. It's on the heels of a stunning victory in parliament elections for the country's opposition party. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
It's Travelocity's 5th annual cruise super sale, the biggest cruise sale ever.
Indeed. I've already eaten my weight in lobster scampi.
Save on every cruise line and every destination. Get up to $300 cash back and up to $100 more when you book with your MasterCard.
How clever.
Hurry. The sale ends February 26, 2004. Call 1-800-222-3690. Visit Travelocity.com/supersale or AOL keyword cruise. Restrictions apply. See site for offer details.
Book with Travelocity. Don't forget your hat.
Chad, I've got half a mind to do some shopping at Kohl's.
Oh, really?
Yep. I'm halfway out the door.
You are?
Oh, yeah. And that's no half-baked idea.
Okay, Vicky. It's Kohl's 50% off sale, isn't it?
You are more than half right.
Take half off hundreds of items during Kohl's 50% off sale. Save 50% on a huge selection of shorts and sandals. Get half off Mrs. and Junior's capris and skirts, plus all solid bath towels and our entire summer living patio shop are 50% off, too. Don't miss Kohl's 50% off sale this Friday and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
The Majority Report.
I think that there's a lot of these right-wing type Republicans who are trying to turn America into a one-party state. Yes, and ma'am. They seem to all be of one mind in this. I'm not talking about the whole Republican Party. I'm talking about, as Sheldon Ranton and John Stauber say, the banana Republicans. Yes. And they seem to have no respect for the Constitution, no respect for democracy.
Air America's Majority Report. Weeknights 8 to 11 on Air America Radio.
It's Thursday. The work week is almost finished. If you're on your way to work, just remember, one more day, and the weekend comes. I don't know why I'm saying that, because the weekend has taken on a whole new thing to me since I have a day-to-day job. I'm here on Morning Edition on Air America Radio with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. We apologize to any Gayeth Abdullahad fans out there. We could not reach Gayeth Abdullahad in Iraq to comment on the Iraqi response to what's going on with these torture photographs, so we apologize if you were holding on for that.
I think I can speak for him in saying some people, most people are appalled, and other people are not surprised.
Well, then there's no reason to ever call him back.
I stand in the gate. I can't do his mellifluous voice.
If you get him on the phone, just tell him we got it covered. It would have added a little texture had we had somebody from Iraq. But
it's good it's radio,
right.
Because yeah. You can't see I'm a sexy Iraqi man, okay?
Yeah.
And but my English accent is pretty good for someone who's never been outside Iraq.
Yeah, that was very good.
Okay.
So Bush.
Nice one, Gay. Thanks for joining us.
So what's going on? Bush is where now, Mark?
In the South.
Yeah. Oh, today he's going to West Virginia.
Well, let me do the Pompeo to see what he's got planned for the day. I got a guy over in the Oval Office that downloads from the Bush's Pompeo. I can't mention the guy's name, but he's a guy that we got on the inside. Here's the presidential schedule for today, the 13th of May, 8 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. You hate torture even worse today than you hated it yesterday. 10 a.m. Meet with yet another championship team from somewhere or other. Act surprised when they give you a gift of a team jersey with number one on it. 11 a.m. Remind the country that the last time there was an impeachment, a lot of money was spent. Nothing really came of it, so there's no need to consider that again. 1:10 p.m. Participate in conservation in high school initiative. Parkersburg, West Virginia. Tell them the conservation of high school students is one of your top priorities. 4 p.m., return to Washington. Wander through Rose Garden. 15 minutes later, have medic apply bandages. 7 p.m., speak at American Conservative Union banquet. Tell them the conservation of the American Conservative Union is one of your top priorities. 9 p.m., watch preview copy of Troy to get ideas for Iraq exit strategy. 11 p.m., bedtime. Note, talk to Rummy tomorrow about building giant wooden horse.
Oh, my goodness.
That's funny.
Well, let's hope Rummy's back.
From Iraq, I know, you know.
Yeah,
so Bush is campaigning. Rummy's campaigning
in Iraq. Yeah.
He's going to
bring up the morale of the troops.
Yeah. Hey, you guys, remember our commander-in-chief had nothing to do with this. It was all my fault, and we thought it was the right thing to do. So make sure you vote for him.
Now, the spin on Rumsfeld is amazing. His former spokeswoman, Victoria Clark, whom I knew when she worked at the Pentagon years ago in Washington, mentioned that in the New York Times that she's talked to him and that, you know, she says, People with less responsibility would be thinking about themselves. He's not thinking about himself. What he thinks about constantly is what is best for the military and what is best for the country. I mean, you read that in a national newspaper. This is the New York Times. And you just wish the reporter could put in a bracket, like, okay.
Right.
Ha ha. Yeah. I mean, it's like comedy.
One thing she missed on the list is what is best for the globalizing agenda of a few neocon whack jobs who want to own and operate the world under the banner of American empire. Is that on there?
I haven't got to that page. But isn't the spin astounding?
It's
amazing.
I mean,
amazing. How can somebody, are you listening, how could a journalist even quote that without choking with laughter?
I don't know how journalists do a lot of things without choking with laughter. I guess a lot of them are too busy.
Or weeping.
Appropriating or stealing information or making stuff up.
Well, maybe that's why they all turn to drink. I've worked with so many alcoholic foreign correspondents that perhaps that's what happens in the end, is that you have to quote this stuff because someone said it to
main
you.
Three.
And the only way, I don't want to name names.
Come on, I want to hear who they are.
I can name three good drinks to get over that kind of reporting at the end of the day, starting with a gin and tonic.
Mm-hmm. I got a question now. Wasn't that reporter allowed access to Rumsfeld's house?
Elizabeth Bumula?
Yeah, what's the beginning of that story? Aren't they talking about the fact that he's got a lovely garden and all the rest of it?
Yes, Rumsfeld, so we know, spent last Sunday in the backyard garden of his elegant Washington home, poring over Pentagon documents piled 10 inches high in his lap.
Now, how would she know that unless
she was him on the fire?
I don't know. His friend, she quotes a friend, Margaret Robson, who was describing. So Margaret Robson was there describing the scene.
So Margaret Robson said his house was elegant, and she bought it. Is that what you're saying? I'm serious. I just want to know.
I'm sure his house probably is elegant.
Bad reporting?
No. What I want to know is, was she there? Yeah. I don't think Margaret Robson told that reporter that Donald Rumsfeld had a stack of 10-inch documents in his lap.
I don't know. If he did, I wish it were the Abu Ghraib prison report, and he finally, finished reading General Antonio Taguba's report.
Well, see, here's the thing. This is my point with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why she would write a piece like that is access. Plain and simple. She was there.
Mm-hmm.
She was in that elegant home, in that garden, looking at Rumsfeld stack all those papers up.
She's
what kind of piece do you think she'd write?
She's on the tip. She's on the payroll.
I'm not saying she's on the payroll. I'm just saying that she had this unprecedented access, and she's going to want it again sometime.
So whether
she works at the Times or at the New York Post.
So in general, most of these reporters you're saying are opportunists who are looking for access in order to promote their own careers over actually documenting the news in an objective way, which makes them a lot like politicians.
Have you ever seen a journalist around free food?
This is what's in the business is a color sidebar. This is sort of an insight into the mind of a man, important top, defense secretary under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's something, a color. It's a color piece.
But it's a piece that you could color different ways. For example, she could have come out of that and said he was a pitiable looking man who was, overwhelmed with all of his work.
But that would be seen as unfair. I mean, I think it's a stretch. It's trying to look fair, as though you are, trying to kind of give the measure of the man. And the reader is supposed to make up his or her mind.
Then why describe his house as elegant if they're trying to be fair? Elegance has nothing to do with
that. Actually, there's a correction coming in. Spent last Sunday in the backyard of his trashy, unkempt Washington home.
There you go. That's more like it.
Or she should just say, I'm speculating here.
Donald Rumsfeld was at home.
Vacuuming.
That's, who, what, where, why, whatever. That's what journalists are supposed to do.
Well, maybe she's on our team. Maybe she's trying to make us say, the bastard lives in an elephant house. How can he care about the regular people?
Washing dishes piled 10-inch high in his kitchen sink.
There you go.
So we got the liberal agenda up ahead, and we want to know what you think of journalistic integrity. Can the press be trusted? Call us, 866-303-AARO, 866-303-2270, and we'll put you on the line right here on Air America Radio.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture and a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free.
and then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my eyes!
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better looking roof with Plitanium plywood from Georgia Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plitanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plitanium plywood. Build it better.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Good morning. It's Thursday. I'm Mark Maron. It's Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. I'm with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AARZERO, 866-303-2270. We're talking about the journalism. We're talking about the corruption of journalism a little bit. We're talking about if you have any stories about journalists who you know lied, you know, outside the ones that we know, you know, friends or compromises you've been asked to make as a journalist. And also, if you'd like to comfort me in my grief about my little cat, Butch, I'll take those calls as well. If you've had a cat die under the age of four without reasons that you know of and what can make me feel better, I would appreciate that. But I know I am a little self-centered and self-indulgent, and I'm not demanding that you parent me, so we'll take the press calls. Right. Here we go. We've got Rich in New Jersey. Rich.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Sue and Mark.
Hey. Hi. How you doing, Rich?
You know, using the terms in the same sense of journalism and integrity is as ironic as saying military intelligence.
Yes, absolutely.
The print media today.
Yeah, thank you
best
very much.
Example,
yeah.
Best examples recently have been, you got to go deep into the any article in any newspaper you pick up to find the word torture rather than the word abuse.
Right.
What we do to them is abuse. What they do to us is torture, okay? You know, and then the other thing is with this contractor crap, okay? They're not contractors. They're mercenaries.
Yeah.
They're assassins.
Yeah, a lot of them are mercenaries and assassins. We've been talking about that. Absolutely.
The whole print media in this country is corrupt.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
You guys are the only ones speaking the contrary to the so-called liberal media they're talking about.
There is no liberal media. Yeah. Thank you, Rich. That guy's worked up, and he's right. Isn't he, Sue?
I don't know. As a journalist, of course, I'd have to be. The voice of
come
reason
on, come
here.
On.
No, I mean, I've had my copy corrupted by editors changing the words and putting their spin on it and fought for it. And, you know, you have to, it's a question of your own personal integrity and who you work for.
So you're saying
There's a huge scale from, you know, absolutely no integrity whatsoever and, you know, pretty good, wouldn't you say, Riley? I think it depends. I mean, I tell you, I've had my copy messed with most and kind of spun in a negative direction when I worked for, surprise, surprise, a Rupert Murdoch newspaper.
Oh, yeah. And there is a difference between print and broadcast. I tend to be cynical because I know and have seen an awful lot of people who've worked in local television and radio news whose sole goal is to go network. I want to break a story And in some cases, they broke stories that were not even stories because their whole thing is to get that network dollar. I want to be the correspondent from Beirut or from this place or from that place. And I just see that a lot.
Yeah,
I have seen that a lot over my short career.
We got Skeeter in Vermont. Thank you for being named Skeeter. Skeeter.
Hi there. I frankly think you'll protest that the mainstream media that the mainstream media is too conservative, or that there is no liberal media, is just a joke, because both liberals and conservatives have been bashing the mainstream media for years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing it on Air America. I've seen it on Rush Limbaugh. They're both bashing the media from completely opposite directions, which means they must be doing something right, because it's obvious that they're pissing off both sides.
Well, so do you think there is integrity in journalism today? You think that the truth is getting out there in an objective manner?
There's no such thing as objectivity. I mean, I'm an ex-journalist.
Okay.
I was a journalist for 19 years.
You're not bitter, are you?
I know from personal experience that there is no such thing as objectivity. What it matters is fairness.
Okay. So
because what is objective to a Westerner could be completely biased to an Easterner.
Right. Are you always this seething this early in the morning, Skeeter?
I've gotten really cynical of all the media bashing by both the left and the right.
Okay, all right.
Can you make something of a point, and I think that's why sources are very important. That if you say something as a journalist and you quote who said it, then it's up to your intelligent kind of reader, or if you're on television, your viewer or your listener on radio, to make up his or her mind how much you want to believe those facts.
About the only media that you can really trust are the live pictures that you see on television, because live television pictures don't lie.
Right.
I don't know, but even then,
well,
I have an issue
so
with that,
sure
because
that
whenever
either.
You're at a you're at a demonstration or a protest or something in the Middle East, a camera is like a magnet for people running towards you and making a mob look much larger than it is. People mug for a camera.
Oh, they stage things. The pulling down of that statue is staged.
There is some degree of truth that pictures can capture something that's more authentic, but not always.
CNN and Al Jazeera are covering the same event live. CNN interprets what goes on one way. Al Jazeera interprets it another way.
But that's interpretation. That's a cultural interpretation.
Exactly, which is why I said there is no such thing as true objectivity in journalism. It does not exist.
Right, and some things are definitely staged, and some things are definitely from different points of view.
Watch a lot of C-SPAN, huh, Skeeter?
Yes, I do.
I knew it.
Well, thanks for calling us and sharing the opinions that you have. Pascual in Spain. Pascual?
Good morning.
Good
afternoon here.
Okay.
I wanted to comment on as you were talking about the reporting by various journalists. Working here and living in Spain, I read such papers as the Herald Tribune, the Financial Times, the Guardian, and things of that nature, where the reporting, I read an article yesterday that was great in the Financial Times, where the gentleman was discussing that Bush was incompetent to be the president of the United States. He went on to explain his reasons why. You don't find, when I'm back in the United States and I pick up a local newspaper when I'm back in Atlanta, and I don't find really good investigative journalism anymore, because basically it's more of a, as you guys mentioned earlier, it's based on what the higher-ups in the corporation or in the news agency want them to report, not what the truth is, but what they feel is going to grab the attention and be able to make them garner the share of the news spot.
Exactly. Thanks for your call, Pascual. That, Noam Chomsky once said that if you want to get any truth out of an article, if there's any in there, you should start at the bottom and read up, because you might find a fragment of truth, because they usually push it down. The editors make decisions that the lead is more important than the substance.
Or you might want to, not necessarily stick with local newspapers. You have to look over magazines with analysis.
Right. We will be back with the liberal agenda. Thank you, Tom, for calling. I saw you were saying something about my cat up there, and we'll see you on Air America Radio in a second.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's
really important, your business. GemHR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GemHR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GemHR.com. At GemHR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it will probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
Hey, it's summertime, all right, and all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer. That's right, ChapStick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer-dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is ChapStick time, too. Use as directed.
My company designs and builds offices for large corporations. After 10 years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of Open, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Good morning. It's Thursday. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. That was a pretty exciting phone caller segment talking about journalistic integrity, the lack of or therein, or and also about my cat, my
wherefore,
little
my
young cat Butch, who died, you know, young and so full of potential.
Too young.
My cat was a genius.
The James Dean of cats.
She lived fast and died young and left a lot to, you know, I mean, she did some pretty, you know, powerful, revolutionary stuff, my cat. And thank you, Stephanie, for the consolatory, is that what you say, note about, she shared a little bit about her cat of 13 years who died and having to, you know, to function in the real world with that grief.
Sorry, she was a female cat. She was maybe the Janis Joplin of cats.
She was, and I think she was hiding her problem.
Oh, Lord.
You know, I never caught her, you know, shooting up or doing any drugs, but, you know, we're away during the day. I don't know who she was hanging out with, and I don't want to suspect that. I want to leave her in my memory the way I think of her as perfect.
I'm a dog person, but I feel for you, though. Cause, yeah. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I had a dog that I loved that got hit by a dump truck.
Oh.
Yeah. And we had, like, a burial in the backyard. It was really, like, one of the most somber times of my early years. I dug this huge grave. We had, like, a service for the dog. It was
well,
a gorgeous dog.
You know, we get very attached to this. I mean, you know, it's easy to trivialize. It's just an animal or whatever. But, you know, you put a lot of love into these animals. Right. And no matter what people say, you know, all animals have different personalities. And you may make a lot of projections about, you know, what they're thinking or what they're not. I really can't stand people where you sit there and you look at your cat going, oh, look at it. It's thinking about, you know, the theory of relativity. And then someone goes, it's the cat.
Yeah, right.
Someone like, you know, like my producer, Jonathan, who would criticize my irrational projections onto my cat. My cat was a poet.
My brother's driving around America right now in one of those big camper van things. Just want to say, Dave, if you're listening, remember, you ran over our cat.
Oh, wow.
Okay, we've forgiven you.
Cat murderer.
It's sort of a funny family story.
Did you have
now.
A family trial?
No, but, you know, my mother hid the news from me for about 5 months.
Really?
I was living in New York, and she came to stay with me, and I had been asking for months, you know, how are Biggles and Nimbus, the twin cats? And she would say, they're fine. They're fine. Everything's fine. And then she came to stay with me on the first night. She took me aside and said, you know what? There's something really important I have to tell you.
Oh,
like, what? Because Biggles, our dear boy, is no more. Like, Mom, I'm 26.
So you can handle it.
You can handle it now.
But it's like true, like, never, you know, never-ending mom fashion. She protected me from the news of the dead cat. And I said, how did he die? And she went, David ran him over.
Oh.
And then I just started laughing and crying at the same time.
Oh. At least he had someone to blame. My cat just had, I think she had the enlarged heart thing. Because, like, you know, they come from... A lot of them, their parents are cousins, and, you know, you never know. They get
genetic
disorders.
Was it a specific kind of cat, or was it just...
It was a black and white genius cat.
A black and white genius cat.
Yeah, it's a rare... Some people call them sort of a stray...
Kind of like a
cats.
Tortured Dylan Thomas cat.
Yeah, very much so, very much so. But,
it was a stand-up cat. It was amazingly talented.
People thought our cat was the best cat in the world. I'm not going to cry.
It was a genius alternative comedian black and white cat.
Exactly.
With an enlarged heart.
Exactly. Too big a heart to live. This is our liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Get your pens and pencils. Here we go. This is your marching orders for today. One, pressure school board. Whining should be taught as a second language. Two, refuse to subscribe to this season's children's theater unless they do a production of Urinetown. Three, sign a petition to allow patients to use medical marijuana, then sign anti-smoking petition. Four, take God out of all public forums unless he's being desecrated in fetishistic art. Five, spread vicious rumors that John Ashcroft is straight. Yes. Do what you will.
Going to impugn his manhood. Okay.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, thanks, Barbara.
Yeah.
You know, now that when we all get audited, I guess we can send her the bill.
Oh, they're not beyond that, are they, Riley?
No.
The bastards.
They're not beyond much.
The bastards.
When Morning Sedition returns, so how is John Kerry doing? More on the fallout from Nick Berg's murder, plus... Recovery Corner. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld trekked to Baghdad overnight. Much to the surprise of the military and the media, no announcement was made prior to his leaving. Just yesterday, he made another appearance before the Senate, during which he responded to a series of questions about the military's future in Iraq, the prisoner abuse issue, and the impending transfer of power in the country. The grieving family of American contractor Nicholas Berg prepares for a funeral or possibly a memorial. They're requesting no media coverage. The body of the beheaded West Chester, Pennsylvania native was returned to the United States. Berg's father, Michael, has scoffed at a U.S. government statement that his son was not in U.S. custody 2 months ago. Feds say he was warned to leave and a plane ride to safety was provided. Still no end to the fighting in Iraq. American forces have used tanks, armored personnel carriers, and attack helicopters to combat insurgent elements loyal to radical Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. The center of the latest attacks have been the holy cities of Karbala and Najaf. John Kerry blasted President Bush yesterday with some of his harshest words yet in the war in Iraq. Democratic presidential challenger told radio host Don Imus that Bush had run an extraordinarily mismanaged and ineptly prosecuted war, and he suggested that the administration's ambiguity on the Geneva Conventions may have led directly to the abuse of Iraqi prisoners. Kerry proposed two immediate changes: oust Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and delay courts martial for Americans accused of the abuse until after a more thorough investigation up the chain of command. Independent presidential candidate Ralph Nader has received the endorsement of the National Reform Party, increasing his ballot access to at least 7 states. They include such battleground states like Florida and Michigan. Nader has been a thorn in the side of many Democrats, since most polls appear to show him doing damage to prospects of Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry. This some 6 months before the election. Nader says he's counting on Reform Party members to help him get on the ballot on other states. There appears to be light at the end of the tunnel for former employees of the bankrupt energy company Enron. Labor Secretary Elaine Chao said yesterday that the ex-company workers would get at least $66.5 million from two newly reached settlements of lawsuits. The employees had alleged in the class action suit that they lost more than $1 billion because the company and its officers failed to execute their duties in administering Enron's pension plan. Clyde Platt is an attorney for the former workers. He says they will never really recover for all that is due them.
The real damage to a lot of these people was that they put all of their lives into working for a company. They had a great deal of trust in the leaders of that company, and they had that confidence and faith shaken, and I don't think that that will ever be restored.
Attorney Clyde Platt for the fired Enron workers. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
It's a lose-lose situation. Insurance premiums are rising and coverage is falling. That's why now is the time to call Northeast Dental Plan, the country's oldest and largest cooperative dental plan, at 1-800-816-8866. You could immediately save as much as 50% on costly dental fees by becoming a member in their cooperative dental plan. For your free information kit, call 800-816-8866. One very low annual fee entitles you to tremendous savings on all general dental work, plus specialty work such as braces, bonding, bleaching, and more. There's even a free initial examination. There is no deductible, no claim forms to fill out, and no insurance company hassles. The free information kit includes the names and locations of every participating dentist and the exact fee charged for each procedure. Available to singles, couples, families, seniors, and groups. Call 1-800-816-8866 for your free kit. That's 1-800-816-8866.
Looking for a home can be stressful. Fortunately, Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is offering stress relief. Spring is here, which means it's open house season at Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. So we're showing more homes than ever. Go to coldwellbankermoves.com for a complete list of open houses. And make house hunting, dare we say, more relaxing. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Visit coldwellbankermoves.com. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter, but in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316.
Randy Rhodes.
You know the picture where they're all laying on the floor, naked? Do you know that the lawyer for one of these guys actually referred to it as they were embracing? Men forced on the floor, nude, on top of each other, posed for a picture, and they're embracing. They fell in love, and there's nothing you could do. You know, Cupid's crazy. This is what they're saying. They fell in love, and then they fell on the floor in a pile. It's just one of those things that happens.
Randy Rhodes, afternoons 3 to 7 on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, Thursday, RIP Butch the Cat. We've got Recovery Corner, The Dream Diary, The Presidential Daily Briefing, you know, incidental ad lib, situational comedy, more stuff. Plus, we'll check in on the campaigns and get the lowdown on the women, the woman who might just have an unhealthy fixation on President Bush. Oh, that's the Karen Hughes dude. We're going to talk to a guy about Karen Hughes later in the hour. And we're going to talk to Tim Robbins in a couple of hours. So if that's not incentive to stay on board, you should. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Thank you for the hundreds of emails that flock in every day supporting Morning Sedition and our network. Thank you, Eva, for the wonderful condolence email just moments ago. Hello, Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Good morning.
Good morning.
What a day it's been so far. It's unbelievable. I woke up and I went to the Dunkin' Donuts guy. If anybody says anything negative about New York and the people that live in this city, you know, to hell with you.
There you go.
That's
there
what
you
I say.
You
know,
greatest
New York,
city in the world.
It absolutely is. You know, it was better when it was a little dirtier. But, you know, a lot of people liked, you know, Giuliani cleaned it up. I kind of liked it a little gritty.
I did, too, but I really haven't said that in about 10 years.
Yeah, I know. What, you know,
it was
younger,
better grimy.
You know,
it was better when you could go to Times Square and go into a porno house at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. And what we're saying is Riley and I aren't rolling around in the grime anymore, but it's
That's
sad
right.
that the kids can't. And here's my point, is that I went into Dunkin' Donuts this morning where I always go, and I said hi to this schizophrenic transsexual that's there every morning. And I walked up to the counter to get my giant mug of my large coffee, Dunkin' Donuts coffee, which I need. And I reached into the pocket. No money. No money in my pocket. So I automatically assumed, you know, New York, who's going to trust me? I barely know these people. I've only been coming around here for a couple months. I just said, you know what? I can't. I got no money. I walk out. The guy goes, you know what? Tomorrow. You pay us tomorrow. Dunkin' Donuts, a franchise store. The guy didn't have to do that. Saw my need. Understood my hunger. Understood that there was a real good chance. And this is all in a moment, the connection we had. How deeply he understood that there's a lot at stake here. He didn't know I was going to find out my cat died. All right? But if he hadn't been there with my coffee to suppress and hide my feelings, because I don't smoke or do drugs anymore, I would have been a crying mess all morning. He had some prescient force for, like, ESP.
And he didn't know that you speak to America.
He didn't know that either, but he said, go ahead and pay me tomorrow.
You know what? It's amazing. Caffeine addiction, it transcends culture, transcends gender, transcends profession.
Addiction in general.
It unites the world.
Addiction in general. You're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? If somebody's got what you need, it don't matter who you are, where you come from. Yeah, can I have some of that?
Yeah,
I need it.
Well, you are going to get one of those boxes Oh Joe, aren't you?
Eventually. I don't know. Sue just handed me a story about Dunkin' Donuts plans to open shops inside Walmart stores. You know, and I'm pretty anti-Walmart, and I guess on some deeper level, I'm kind of anti-Dunkin' Donuts, the idea. But you know what? They make the good stuff, man.
It makes you shop faster as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
And when I moved to California in 92, I was amazed that my local supermarket, which was then Ralph's, had a coffee station in the middle of the supermarket. You could go and get a cappuccino in a paper cup, admittedly a bad cappuccino, but I thought this was so amazing that people were like, wow, coffee? And you put it and you wheel your cart around and you're having your breakfast while you shop. I thought this was just revolutionary.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful
when
you
can... That's how deprived we are in Europe of services.
It's beautiful when you can fill your hole in many different ways at the same time.
Oh, Lord. But you know what?
You just had to lower the tone of a nice
I mean, the spiritual.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay.
Fill it with caffeine. It works every
caffeine,
time.
Shopping, food. I mean, there's no end to the things you try to do when you don't have a God in your life that takes care of that. Go ahead, man. I don't want to make any weird, awkward transitions. Let me change tones.
No.
So, Mark, what's happening?
What's the latest in the news? There is no excuse. No excuse for the execution of Nicholas Berg. On that, just about everybody agrees, even President Bush and John Kerry. From there, however, their paths diverge. Kerry broke from his usual rather cautious approach to the Iraq situation and went after Bush with some uncommon vigor. He again called for Donald Rumsfeld's ouster and said that he would make that and one other immediate change, and that would be to delay the court-martial hearings for Americans charged with mistreating the Iraqi prisoners. Now, they have added two more people to the court-martial list, both sergeants. One is that guy, Ivan Chip Frederick, who's a former prison guard, and another guy, African-American named Javal Davis.
Yeah.
They are both now going to be tried. Let's see, that makes four.
And Kerry wants to postpone it until, you know, we see who's really responsible. Is that why? Is that the idea?
I think he figures that you don't want to scapegoat the people on the lower end of the totem pole here.
Right. And he's definitely a guy who should know that kind of stuff, being that he was in Vietnam and he's seen, you know, how that went.
But you know what Kerry did that was interesting? I think he more or less did it through a spokesperson rather than, you know, going out and saying it himself. But he essentially implied that Bush was responsible for what happened at Abu Ghraib. Now, for him, that's a great leap. He really hasn't come that far and gone that far until now. But that's what his people are saying.
That's it through deductive logic, though. He didn't out and out say, you know what, Bush has got to pay for this. The guy, you know, he's the commander-in-chief. He's responsible for everything that goes on his watch.
What his spokesperson, his foreign policy advisor, mm-hmm. said, that it was an ambiguity is a failure of leadership.
Beautiful.
On Bush's part.
Beautiful.
So he's moving toward that direction that I think a lot of people had wanted him to move, to be more aggressive, to be more outspoken. We'll see if that continues, however.
I think he's going to kick it up. I just have that feeling, and I think he's doing fine. And I think that, you know, any cost, you know, like, you know, we just got to, you know, be patient. And he will lead. You know what I mean? Granted, he's a politician. He's like, you know, he's been up there a long time. That has its negative connotations, but it also has very positive connotations. I think he would be an effective leader.
I think it's interesting that Bush is saying that there's no justification for the beheading, and they keep on the White House using justification, because you can't really argue with that. But what there is explanation.
Right.
And that's what they don't want to fess up to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And also, the explanation being that the Bush administration really created this atmosphere,
right,
in which targeting Americans became, you know, inevitable for the sort of most volatile part of the Iraqi population.
There was no Al-Qaeda connection until we went to war there. There was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq until we created an environment where they could, you know, thrive.
But they want to contain it in justification.
But the weird thing is, how can he say that? On one side, he's saying there's no justification for this, yet they're saying, you know, some Republicans, you know, on the Hill are saying, you know, that, like, this is what we're fighting against.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that justification somehow? I mean, kind of. Isn't that, you know, kind of a weird spin on you know, taking that incident, which is, you know, Al-Qaeda within Iraq, you know, killing an American civilian. Mm-hmm. There is no justification for that, yet he's using the image to justify the war in Iraq.
The war in Iraq, and, in fact, the war on terror. And part of this is being used, I think, to cover up the fact that they really have no clue how they're going to capture the people that did this to Nicholas Berg. The search continues. White House spokesman Scott McClellan says that the killers will be hunted down, but with this rather interesting caveat.
We will pursue those who are responsible and bring them to justice. No, I do not have an update on who exactly is responsible. Apparently, those who claim credit are terrorists tied to Al-Qaeda, as they stated in this video.
So you heard what he just said, right? We're going to get them, but we don't know who they are.
Yeah, it's all part
They're
of
They're wearing masks.
Yeah.
It is all part of this, you know, intensifying of the focus on, you know, the evil nature of the enemy we're up against, rather than acknowledging that, you know, the majority of people in Iraq, you know, are incredibly disgruntled, unhappy, would criticize the beheading, be appalled by it. They are not the enemy. I mean, the enemy here is basically chaos and kind of failure of a post-war mission that was coherent and able to be fixed by June 30th.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a good point you make in terms of, like, how many different factions there are, and that how they keep saying that these are the enemy, yet there's so many different things going on in Iraq. You have, you know, the al-Sadr's militia, you have, you know, al-Qaeda operatives, you have, you know, and also just public dissent against Americans. You know, you can't lump them all together. I think it's almost, you know, provoking, you know, a racist ideology against all Iraqi people. I mean, there are plenty of people there that are upset with America for pretty good reason, that aren't necessarily protesting, but they want things to settle down, too. I think it's
Well, they want to be able to have electricity. They want the kids to be able to go and perhaps work. They want to be able to go and perhaps worship where they choose. People don't understand that the American military, in occupying Iraq, will drop a roadblock someplace at the drop of a hat, will in effect detain thousands of people who want to go to the other side of the roadblock, make them go through one at a time. They end up spending 6 hours trying to do something that would normally take 20 minutes. These are the kinds of things that, not as an isolated instance, but when you take them all together, when you put them all together, it creates a situation where people feel that they're not in control of their own country or their own lives. And when you get to that point, people are going to break,
but
one way or the other.
They're not in control, and the coalition's not in control either.
Yep.
Still ahead, we've got Recovery Corner, and we're hanging on for a call, perhaps from Liam in Chappaqua. He finished his book here on Air America Radio.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Help you.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay. Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
There was dirty water in the air, and it was good. Once, Planet Check.
Last year, Mounted Meadows became quite concerned, as I think a lot of other ski areas are in the country, about the possible influence of global warming on our viability as a business.
That's Mount Hood Meadows Sustainability Manager, Stuart Watson.
So we thought we would take some initiatives to demonstrate our concern about that and hope to motivate other people to take similar actions.
Mount Hood gives the planet a lift with green-powered chair.
So we went out and bought enough green tags from the Bonneville Environmental Foundation to power two of our major chair lifts this year.
By taking this positive action, Mount Hood Meadows Ski Resort prevented 256 tons of greenhouse gases.
This is just totally awesome.
The purchase of green tags makes Mount Hood Meadows the third in the country among ski areas for support of renewable energy. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Mark Maron here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Rest in peace, Butch the Cat. I'm going to say that all day. My sadness is dissipating a bit. My little cat, Butchie, died this morning. I'm very sad, but it's okay. I got my dream diary. Thank you for all the support, all the emails. You love the dream diary. I appreciate it because, you know, I am sharing a deep part of my soul here. For the one lady who didn't like it, who said she turned the radio off when she heard the Dream Diary, might be time for you to go out of the room. All right. My therapist asked me to write these down. I'm going to my therapist today with a stack of these, and today, this is last night. It's my Dream Diary for last night. I'm in an all-white room with soft white pillows, white billowing curtains. A white rhinoceros is slow dancing with a snow leopard in a white bathtub filled with milk. I'm in a white satin beekeeper suit, and I'm trying to lick vanilla ice cream cone, but the beekeeper mask keeps getting in the way. The entire Osmond family is there. Edgar Winter is there. It's really white. Someone's harmonizing in the background. White Snake, I think, or maybe it was White Lion, or maybe Great White. Wait, it's Barry White. That's it. Those other ones suck. It's Barry White. And Prince is there, and he's wearing a white suit with the butt cut out, and he can pull it right off, and it's weird, because I have this weird, we exchange a knowing look, and I don't even know what that's about. It was just a look, though. And then two white doves fly by in slow motion, and I remember in the dream that I felt like this is the happiest moment in my life. Then just then, Frosty the Snowman comes on a sled pulled by eight white dogs. Mark Maron, he says, not in a happy Frosty the Snowman kind of voice, but in a mean cop's voice. And I realize, oh, my God, it's Rumsfeld in disguise. I go, yeah. He goes, come with me. And then Frosty Rumsfeld slaps on the handcuffs and throws me in the sled. Next thing I know, I'm locked inside a Dukes of Hazzard lunchbox. Even though there's a giant thermos in there, somehow I know in my dream that I'm going to get tortured. I wake up, and my bed is filled with Uncle Ben's rice pilaf. What is that about?
Oh, wow. I mean, with all of that white stuff before Barry White, how did you see anything?
Dude, it's like my dreams. I'm glad I'm going to the therapist today. I think I had some bad dreams. Mm. Now I'm going to have bad dreams about my cat. And also, I think that, is it possible that there was actually a Budweiser ad in one of my dreams once. Do they have the technology to do that? Really? To just plant advertising in your brain while you sleep? It's coming. Yeah.
Your brain is like the internet. You have to click on the no thanks, and then it disappears.
Yeah, one time Janine Garofalo showed up in my dream, and I was like, wow, she's got a great publicist.
I got to ask you a question about Butch the Cat.
Yeah.
Or I guess not about Butch the Cat, but about Butch the Cat sadly passing away. Because this is something that happened with my daughter when her guinea pig died. Do you want to replace Butch anytime soon?
We got another cat, Boomer, that's skittish and crazy and always has snot in his nose. So he's going to carry up some of the, he's going to take up the flank, I guess. Is that what you say? He's going to be okay
for a while.
Pick up the slack. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to get another cat. I might get one before I go.
You don't think that Boomer was somehow involved and you'd need to get to the bottom of this?
I blame Boomer for a lot of things
really?
Early on.
I don't know. You should check into it.
Because he was a shelter cat.
It could be a kind of conspiracy, kind of, homicidal, renamed cat.
Boomer was in on it. Now the conspiracies start. I'm going to have to get an investigation going.
So listen, I don't know who's running the country now that Donald Rumsfeld is in Iraq and George W. Bush is wending his way to West Virginia for the day. He's been traveling a lot, I guess, to get out of D.C., to get out of the harsh spotlight, to get out of some of the foolishness that's going on. And some of the recriminations that are taking place around his leadership about now. But he's fighting back. The president is fighting back.
What's he got?
He's got his wife. He's got the better half. He's got Laura Bush.
I've seen the president reading with children, encouraging them as they go through their lessons, talking to them about the importance of going to college. He knows education policy is not just about passing laws in Washington. It's about giving teachers and parents the tools they need to provide a first-rate education for students all over America. Remember, when you vote this fall, you're voting for our future. Please vote for President Bush. Thank you.
So is he trying to say that when he puts on those reading glasses, he really means it? Come on, this is Bush on education. I'm just going to read right off of this.
Go ahead.
Right off of this. This is from the New York Times, I believe, yes? The Bush administration severely underfunds its own education plan. Just 4 weeks after the signing, Bush released his budget for the 2003 fiscal year, which, while increasing money for high-poverty schools, sought a net $90 million cut in spending in areas connected to No Child Left Behind. The next year, the administration proposed a net cut of $1.2
billion. Whoa, hold it. $90
million? Mm-hmm.
And then
$1.2 billion. It's all lip service with this guy. The law authorized as much as $80 billion in additional spending on Title I high-poverty schools by 2007, yet Republican leaders acknowledge and contend that Democrats knew very well that it did not mean the full amount would be appropriated. Come on, you guys. You know it's not all the money.
But, education for George W. Bush is a warm and fuzzy thing. That's what he did. He did with having his wife come on and talk about having him read to school children. You may remember that a while back, he was asked what his favorite book was during his boyhood.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Aww.
Yeah, but that came out when my children were small.
Yeah.
Not when he was small.
It was a year after he got out of college.
To read.
Hey, nobody's perfect, all right?
Yeah, well, that's, I guess, when he really first started reading, that's what he thought that it meant. The year he got out of college, he's like, that's when I read my first book.
In that ad, which was an internet ad, wasn't it? Was that,
yeah,
was that Laura at the keyboard?
I think so.
Clicking away.
Yeah, I mean, she was there, sort of like a like Elton John, playing while she talked.
That was the yin and the yang of the Bush commercials. That was the warm and fuzzy one. Now we're going to listen to another Bush campaign ad. This one about John Kerry.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
John Kerry says, a lot of people don't really know who I am. Well, actually, a lot of people do.
Kerry's hometown paper says, in his continuing effort to be all things to all voters, John Kerry is engaging in a level of doublespeak that makes most voters wince.
The Wall Street Journal said, Kerry's tax plan would mean increasing the tax burden again, which would likely kill the recovery.
On Iraq, the Washington Post said Kerry's attempts to weave a thread connecting and justifying his positions are unconvincing.
The union leader says Kerry has waffled on historic education reforms he supported in 2001, but now opposes.
And the nonpartisan National Journal magazine ranks Kerry the most liberal member of the Senate, more liberal than Hillary Clinton or Ted Kennedy.
John Kerry's problem is not that people don't know him, it's that people do.
It's hypnosis.
Absolutely.
They figured out. They've got America in a trance. If you listen to that.
Yeah, who did that music track? DJ Spooky?
I don't know, but I'm voting for
it's
Bush.
It's just one phrase over and over and over.
That she, you know, it's like she has a point and... Wait, snap me out of it! Snap me out of it! Okay, I'm back. Wait.
There you are.
You've got your flip-flop list. Why don't we read some of Bush flip-flops? March 19, 2002, Bush opposes the Department of Homeland Security. Ari Fleischer states, quote, so creating a cabinet office doesn't solve the problem. You still will have agencies within the federal government that have to be coordinated. So the answer is that creating a cabinet post doesn't solve anything. June 6, 2002, a few months later, Bush supports the Department of Homeland Security. How do you like that?
That was when he found out Tom Ridge was available.
It has nothing to do with principle.
Of course not.
It's all politics. May 29, 2003, Bush says, we found the weapons of mass destruction. February 7, 2004, Bush says, we haven't found the weapons of mass destruction. They were just in my head.
I got it.
I don't got it. It's just a weather truck. It's a weather truck.
Hey, you know, flip-flopping is not the exclusive province of the Democratic Party, that's for sure.
September 17, 2001, Bush wants Osama dead or alive. March 13, 2002, Bush doesn't care about Osama. Quote, I don't know where he is, I have no idea, and I really don't care. It's not that important. What happened? I want him dead or alive, you big liar. Uh-oh, just did a Franken.
Well, and so I guess that means we should all believe Scott McClellan when he says every effort's going to be made to find the killers of Nicholas Byrd.
Yeah, they must be with Osama. He doesn't care.
Straight ahead.
Sounded like Randy, didn't I?
You sure did. Straight ahead, Jim Moore with the Salon.com story of the day. The presidential daily briefing is on tap, and so is Recovery Corner. This is Air America Radio.
Mary, can you overnight these to Boston?
Sure, do you want them first thing or... It's a meteor and it's coming right at me!
Not many things knock you out like a migraine.
I suppose you'll want to take the rest of the day off then.
But you can knock out a migraine with Ralpax. Ralpax allotriptan hydrobromide relieves migraine pain and symptoms such as nausea and sensitivity to light and sound. For some people, it starts to work in 30 minutes. Ask your doctor. Call 1-866-3-RALPAX or go to relpax.com. Ralpax. Don't let a migraine keep you down. Only your doctor can decide if Ralpax is right for you. If you have certain types of heart disease, a history of stroke, TIA, or uncontrolled blood pressure, you should not take Ralpax. Very rarely certain people, even some without heart disease, have had serious heart-related problems. Talk to your doctor if you have risk factors for heart disease, such as smoking, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol, or if you are pregnant or nursing. Certain medicines that are potent CYP3A4 inhibitors should not be taken with Ralpax, so talk to your doctor if you're taking other medicines. See our ad in Fitness Magazine.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Surprise, surprise. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld flew to Baghdad overnight. His arrival earlier today was much to the surprise of some members of the military and the media. Rumsfeld is getting a firsthand account of what's going on in the U.S. occupation and boosts troop morale, now said to be at an all-time low. The Defense Secretary is parting company with the likes of Vice President Dick Cheney and other Republican Party leaders who wish to withhold further public disclosure of the prisoner abuse photos and video. Rumsfeld says, as far as he's concerned, he'd be happy to release all to the public. You wonder why gas prices are at their highest level in some 14 years. Industry officials yesterday told the Senate panel that 20 years of environmental rules have gutted the industry's productivity. And popular American clothing retailer The Gap has had to make a confession. Yesterday, they acknowledged that many of their overseas workers are mistreated. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Today at 5 and 6 on Eyewitness News.
The loss, the devastation, it's not right.
Co-workers dying young from the same thing.
When the dead list came, it was name after name after name.
Eyewitness News' Jim Hopper investigates an oil company in our area.
The whole place is leaking like a sieve.
Plus at 5, when spammers steal your email address, Eyewitness News stops it from happening to you. Join Diana Williams, Sade Baron-Moi, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah.
It's my first time meeting her, Cameron Diaz.
You and Justin live part of your life in the tabloids.
Yeah.
What do you think they want?
I think they're crazy.
You are the it girl.
Plus, Mike Ryan. Eddie Murphy.
What a party!
Antonio Banderas.
And Hollywood legend Julie Andrews.
The stars of Trek 2.
Don't care.
Next up.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
Make every day bolder. Introducing the new, bolder taste of Maxwell House French Roast. You told us you wanted a more full body coffee. We listened. Today we custom roast our beans for a new, bolder flavor. Try the new taste of Maxwell House French Roast. It's a bold new way to make every day good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
The O'Franken Factor.
MoveOn.org shamed this administration into paying for our troops when they come back to pay for their travel back home.
Air America's Al Franken.
MoveOn.org members donated tens of millions of miles so our troops could get back home. And it shamed this administration to providing the travel that our troops have from their base to their home.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanford. Weekdays noon to 3 on Air America Radio.
Good morning. This is Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. I'm with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott here on Air America Radio. A shout out to Charles. Good morning. This is an email I just got. Please, people, please lighten up a little bit. Good morning. Your goal and message might be better served were you to be more thoughtful and considerate about exploiting certain groups of people to support and carry your idea of humor. For example, recovering alcoholics, of which I am one, and some of the funniest people I know are recovering alcoholics, and I get plenty of support from the recovering alcoholic community. And two, schizophrenic transsexuals. I apologize to the schizophrenic transsexual community for insulting you. Right. All I'm saying is I went to the Dunkin' Donuts. It was clearly the man-woman was a transsexual, and she was talking to herself and writing on several different pieces of paper. I apologize. I have nothing against transsexuals. I go to the websites. I don't even know why. That I'll talk to my therapy about. But I appreciate your input, Charles, but please, please, take it easy. You can't out-sensitive yourself out of a sense of humor. Now, on the phone, Jim Moore joins us with our Salon.com story of the day. Today, his piece on Salon.com is about presidential advisor Karen Hughes. Her new book is out now. It's called 10 Minutes from Normal. But how far from normal is she really? Jim is the author of Bush's War for Reelection and has been covering the Bushes since their days back in Texas. He joins us now on the phone from Austin. Jim, what is wrong with Karen Hughes?
Well, as we like to say down in Texas, I don't think she's quite hooked up right.
You know, that's clear, man.
Somewhere along the way, she gave up everything she wanted and she believed and she was interested in to sort of take up this vicarious life through George Bush, and it's a strange thing, and it's the kind of blind devotion where if he jumped out a 10-4 window, Karen would follow him out.
I think they call that codependency in recovery circles.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Speaking of which, I always like the guys who drink better than the ones in recovery myself.
Yeah. Yeah, they're funny until they get sick, you know. But yeah, there's a lot of guys in recovery that are pretty funny too, because they've been there and got good stories.
Yeah,
they're not still living the story. But talking about, you know, Karen Hughes, did you actually know what she did before she hooked up with Bush?
Oh, sure. I've known her since she was a television reporter way back in the late 70s and early 80s here in Texas. I was a television reporter then as well, and so I worked around her a lot. I saw her a lot. She was a sort of bellicose, aggressive reporter, but she was nothing at all like the sort of manic obsessiveness that she brings to this relationship with Bush.
But she's been away too for a while, and she didn't come back during the 9/11 thing. She didn't come back at the beginning of the war. She said she had family matters, but I guess the election is a big enough problem to sort of, you know, spur her loyalty, spur it on.
Well, I think, Mark, I don't think she ever really went away. I think that's been a big ploy, almost like a marketing thing. We've all known that the president calls her every single day, no matter where she is, often many times a day.
Really?
My
God.
And she is on the road and in Washington so much. I think this has been more a case of her husband and her son changing their address rather than Karen. Karen's up there a lot, and she never really went away. And this was more about, you know, the cynical Democrats here in Texas, and there still are a few Democrats left standing here. You know, they sort of have viewed this since it's happened a couple of years ago. It's just a marketing thing to say, you know, to turn her into an Oprah topic. You know, the most powerful woman in American history, not married to a president, abandons career for family. But that's not really what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, there was a lot made of Karen Hughes' connection attempt to connect the abortion march that took place, the pro-choice march that took place not long ago, and 9/11. And a lot of people thought that was a little whack. How did you see it?
Well, I saw it exactly the same way. I mean, everything, Karen and Carl and everyone within that administration sort of closes the loop on this question of terror and Al-Qaeda and 9/11 and connects every issue back to it. You know, it's like as long as there are terrorists out there, we're not going to be safe to go to the library and do our research for our high school term papers. And now she's gone so far as to suggest in this interview with Wolf Blitzer at CNN that people who are pro-choicers might as well be sitting in the camp in the mountains with Osama doing evening prayers, because they're the same kind of people. They don't value life as much as the Bush administration.
I saw that. That was ridiculous. How can she say that with a clear conscience? It's so, you know, it's mind-bending.
I think they have this psychological tick, all of these people in this sort of, they have this sort of cult-like devotion to W, where they believe anything they say and whatever they do, as long as it serves the purpose of sustaining his administration and sustaining the Republican Party, it's a case of means justifies ends. But, you know, as every ethics 101 student knows, that's where you get in trouble, and it's clearly what's happened in Iraq, with everything from lying to why we went there, also to lying about how we're getting information out of prisoners.
Unbelievable.
Jim Moore, you've written a column in today's Salon.com saying that you think that Karen Hughes' consciousness is so tied in with George Bush's that she might not be able any longer to discern between her own thinking and that of the president. But hasn't it been a kind of a smart thing from his point of view to use Karen Hughes in this way? Isn't she really some sort of sounding board to get him in touch with suburban moms and conservative women and the whole Republican family values idea that women should be putting family in front of everything else?
I'd be the last guy to say that she's not effective and she's not good at what she does. I saw her just sort of chop Ann Richards to pieces with these witty barbs in the last election, because, you know, she turns the phrases that Bush later overturns when he tries to speak them, you know. But I think there's something terribly, terribly unhealthy about a full-grown adult female sitting in the back of the room mouthing the words of a speech as the president delivers them. This is, It's not a normal thing. The president needs to be the president. He needs to think on his own two feet and speak improvisationally and extemporaneously and a few other words that end with an L-Y, you know, and he's supposed to be the guy. He's not supposed to be sort of, Karen's not supposed to be his remote control device, and I think that's what's happening. And I think Americans have a right to know this sort of odd, almost unhealthy relationship that exists because it's a part of judging who he is and how he functions.
True, but is it any more unhealthy just because she's a woman?
No, absolutely not. Okay. Whoever is doing it, it would be unhealthy. Karen's a very capable political operative, but what she has created with the guy that she has sort of, she's projected her life onto the president, and so you're not real. What you're seeing is not really the president. You're seeing a sort of amalgamation of Karen and Carl and George W. Bush.
A three-headed monster.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Thank you very much for joining us, Jim Moore. We appreciate it. Jim Moore's story is on Salon.com. He's been covering the Bushes for years. So what do you think John Kerry's campaign, do you think it's doing well considering the money and the incumbency he's going up against? Let us know at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. Sedition at AirAmericaRadio.com. We'll talk to you in a second.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband, Michael, at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband, Tom, through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband, Jack, on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture and a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Five past the hour, Thursday morning. Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. I am Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott and the blessed spirit of my lost cat, Butch. Beautiful. Wow. Now, about the Kerry campaign, is he doing well considering all he's up against? Or is he floundering? Let's see what they have to say. 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. Right now, it's time to take a look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is titled Latest Kerry Threat Reality. Mr. President, it's come to our attention that showboating war hero John Kerry is planning to turn this administration's glorious victories in Iraq into a dangerously factual depiction of actual events. Though it's difficult to see how anyone could gain political currency opposing a war so clearly defined and executed, this info-terrorist seems to think he can steal your presidency by cleverly exploiting the public's unreasonable distaste for carnage. Your falling poll numbers suggest Kerry's strategy could threaten your bold initiative to invade Syria or even Mars. This office suggests planting evidence in his files detailing the numerous abortions he had in the early 70s. Plus, in all future speeches, replace the word war with fudge. That way, even if the fudge in Iraq becomes increasingly bloody, it will cease to be a political liability. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
Office he didn't want in the first place.
Yes, exactly. Flip-flopper. Bush, a flip-flopper.
We're leading the fudge against terror?
Yes, we are. He is. Sean in New Jersey. Sean, how are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
You guys are great.
Thanks.
I just wanted to say that I think that people are starting to understand what Kerry's all about, and they're starting to listen to his message. And people are starting to realize that, you know, they shouldn't have elected Bush, even though he wasn't elected. And I think that everybody knows that the elections are won with independent voters, and that's really who Kerry is trying to court right now. And I think people are starting to understand that, you know what, this whole thing was a lie from the beginning.
Yep.
And people are starting to understand that and recognize that, and they're going to respond, I think, in November.
I think you're absolutely right. Thanks for calling.
You know what else I think is going on now? And I think the Kerry campaign is hearing the message that maybe he wasn't fast enough in responding to immediate events, whether it's the prison scandal, the Berg situation, whatever. And we're starting to see him react faster.
Right.
We're starting to see him say things in a more forceful and more direct way. That's not happening by accident. He's hearing what people are saying, and I think he's attempting to respond.
He's kicking it up. 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0, Sue?
Well, the events themselves are so dramatic. I mean, you know, the beheading of Nicholas Berg, you have to react to that. I mean, it necessitates a dramatic response. It's not just the sort of trickle of fighting in Fallujah.
Absolutely. Debbie, Vermont. Debbie, how are you?
Hi.
Hey.
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Except my cat died, but aside from that, I'm good. What do you got to say about Kerry campaign?
Well, I think that he's sitting back. I don't think we hear a lot here because he's got Vermont sewn up. So.
Yeah. So you feel that he's not quite doing as good a job as he should?
No, I think he's doing an okay job.
Mm-hmm.
He can't sound like, you know, a crazed liberal.
Yes.
At the moment. And I think that...
he's not a crazed liberal.
Yeah, right.
No, he's not. I know he's not. I kind of wish he was. I'm a big Dean supporter. But,
yeah.
Ah.
But
maybe he'll bring that out at the end. He'll just explode into a crazed liberal rage in October.
I don't know.
Oh, that'll get the vote.
Thanks a lot for your call, Debbie. I don't know if she quite got her point out, but it was nice talking to her. Freddie, is it? Freddie?
It is Freddie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. First of all, I'm a recovering alcoholic that loves all the recovery stuff you do.
Oh, thank you very much.
People need to lighten up.
I agree with you, Freddie.
25 years sober.
Oh, congratulations.
I get up early to listen to you.
Right. You know, isn't it nice to be able to get up early?
It is. And I'd still be up.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
What I wanted to say about Kerry, I have lived in Ohio and I have good friends in Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
Places where you wouldn't think he'd have much popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been talking to my girlfriend in Wyoming, and people there are absolutely disgusted with what's happening to the economy and what's happening with the war. So he's maybe developing popularity in what had traditionally been. Actually, isn't Cheney from Wyoming?
Yeah, he's got a big house in Wyoming. Isn't
right.
It?
Thank God, though. Thank God they're finally waking up. Sometimes you wonder about some Americans, how long will it take them to wake up? I appreciate your call, Freddie. Rick in Virginia. Rick. Rick.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, Rick.
Yes, I'm Rick and McLean, and if the definition of doing well is that he's taking a strategy that will help cause him to win the election, I think Kerry's doing well. I think that strategy is simply to sit back and let Bush self-destruct.
Exactly. So there's a certain amount of genius to it. I think he's right. I think that, like, accusing, I think that a lot of us were quick, even here on the show a bit a few weeks ago. They're sort of like, when's he going to pick up the pace? When's he going to do this? Maybe he had the foresight here to realize that this guy, Bush, was going to hit this amazing wall, which he seems to be doing. And I think sometimes it's best, you know, what is the old parable or whatever it is, that if you don't
toast
say
in the hair?
Something about, like, not saying something is sometimes the best thing, the loudest thing. I don't know what it is.
We'll consult our Aesop's fables for you in the break.
Okay. We'll be back with Recovery Corner, and we've got, oh, Mike, wait a minute, we got one more caller here. It's William in Chappaqua. We'll have to hold him till after the break here on Air America Radio.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experience professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinamone, and since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
Good morning. It's Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. I am, of course, Mark, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
In Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling today to stay clean and sober. And as always, I'm offering counsel to my temporary sponsee, George W. George, buddy. Now, I know things have been rough in Washington lately. Right? Not obligrate rough, but rough enough. So yesterday you said, screw it. I'll just split and go campaign somewhere outside the Beltway where people aren't so mean or discerning. Look, I understand what you're doing, George W., but you can't do a temporary geographical. Think if you just move, everything will be all right. Yeah, that's wrong. There's no escaping the city limits of you, man. You understand? You have to do what's in front of you. Remember, wherever you go, there you are. It's time to clean up your side of the street, my friend, because it's dirty, buddy. Don't let those happy button-wearing voters in the South and the Midwest be your enablers. They have their own problems, you know, mainly obesity. But there's another program for that, all right? And that's not your problem. The main point is they're not helping you. What I'm trying to say, George W., is next time you want to leave the White House, go to a meeting. Send Cheney to the South. He could use it. He could use the exercise. You know, pacemaker doesn't solve all his problems. Remember, pal, it works if you work it. So work it. You're worth it and live it. Keep the plug in the jug. God doesn't wake up and think he's you. Remember, it's alcoholism, not wasm. If you got one foot in yesterday and one foot in tomorrow, you're peeing on today. Don't drink. That's Recovery Corner.
All right.
Oh, there he is. We got to take this call. It's William in Chappaqua. Of course he's calling us. You know, he said yesterday that he finished his book and he needs his life back, he said. He made jokes about it. Quentin said he's been in writer's jail. I'm welcome out of jail, William.
Thanks. It's good to be free.
Yeah, I bet it is. Yeah, man, it must have been rough, you know, writing a book for $10 million.
Let's just say I've been locked up for a long time. Now I got some money burning a hole in my pocket.
Yeah, so what are you planning to do with that money?
Well, let's just say I have some other interests I'd like to pursue.
Yeah, oh, wait, Bill from Harlem just kicked in. Bill?
Hey, buddy.
What?
How you doing,
it's
my brother?
It's great to talk to the whole Clinton.
My brother.
It's Bill from Harlem, yeah. And you're out of prison, buddy. You're a prisoner of love, that's what I'm saying. Elvis needs playtime, okay?
Elvis is leaving the building.
He's leaving the building, and he's got plans.
Yeah, what do you got going? What are you going to do now that you're out of writer's jail?
What do you got planned, William? I'm ready. Well, I know you're ready. I just want you to leave me enough money for my legal defense fund or whatever it is you got in mind. Oh, what's a dollar here or there? They're called contributors, buddy. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay.
So are you going to tour with the book?
Are we? Here he is. I'm going to tour behind the book. You know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying, Bill. Well, thank goodness you're out, and we're all looking forward to the book tour.
Not as much as we are, Mark. Not as much as we are.
As always, nice talking to you, President.
All right,
gentlemen. By the way, is it too late to dedicate today's show to the memory of Butch?
No. I think that Butch, the genius cat poet, lived fast, died young cat.
Stand-up comic.
Miracle. And just like, you know, I'm telling you, this cat was charmed. People would come over and go, wow, that cat's like an alien that knows more than we ever could. I'm going to miss her, and I thank all of you for helping me through the grief, Sue, Mark, and the listeners that have been so supportive. Even the ones who think I'm a little self-indulgent, I think, have kicked in their condolences, and I appreciate that, and this show is dedicated. To push the cat.
There you go. On a stairway to feline heaven.
Yes.
As we speak.
Yes, she is.
Morning Sedition isn't done yet.
Tim Robbins is coming in. He's going to be in the studio.
That's right.
I wonder if he carries his Oscar with him.
Oh, wow.
Bring the Oscar, Tim. I want to see one.
I hope he's not listening to you right now.
Why not? Bring it.
Plus, will Martha Stewart work off her jail time on the streets of Brooklyn? All this, plus the morning devotional when we return here on Air America Radio.
You need to buy or sell your home, but where do you start?
Sorry to interrupt, but the place to start is LendingTree.com. You can search home listings, have real estate agents compete for your business, and bankers compete for your mortgage. You can even get up to a $2,000 gift card to the Home Depot when you close with an agent certified by LendingTree. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE, or visit LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details and licensing. LendingTree, Inc. is not affiliated with the Home Depot.
Weeds like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld making a surprise visit to Iraq in a bid to get a better view of the situation there today. Brigadier General Mark Kimmon, in a broadcast interview this morning, said Rumsfeld wants to see Abu Ghraib for himself and meet the personnel there. Kimmon says Rumsfeld may have some concerns about troop morale, now pegged at an all-time low. Kimmon says Rumsfeld also wants to make sure things are in good shape on the ground. The Brigadier General also believes Rumsfeld may also be concerned that Iraqis are looking at him a little bit differently now after photos of prisoner abuse made their way around the world. Departing from what appears to be the administration's and Republican line, the defense secretary told a press briefing in Baghdad today that if it were left to him, all the photos would be released to the public. Rumsfeld wants the whole thing over with. Republican leaders are concerned that the release of new photos and video would further inflame hostility in the Middle East region. Leading human rights groups said today that prisoners held by the U.S. in Afghanistan suffer systemic mistreatment. Human Rights Watch called for the country's secretive jails to be open to outside scrutiny. Organization also urged the United States to finally clear up the deaths of three Afghans in custody since late 2002. Republican Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison of Texas appeared on CNN this hour to tell her party's line on the abuse scandal that the videotape beheading of American civilian Nick Berg makes the prisoner abuse appear less severe. Asked whether the new photos should be released, she had this to say.
We have seen what we need to see to show the kind of enemy we're facing, and I think the enemy is more projected through the pictures of the grisly death of Mr. Berg.
Kay Bailey Hutchison of Texas. Independent presidential candidate Ralph Nader yesterday picked up the endorsement of the National Reform Party. It increases his prospects of being on a ballot in some seven states. Democrats have long voiced their concern about Nader being in the contest since most polls show his presence will have a negative impact on the party's quest for an election year win at the top. Nader yesterday offered Democratic rival John Kerry a little advice if he were in his shoes.
If he's very clear on universal health insurance instead of this complex step-by-step proposal he's made, he'll pick up more votes. And if he is very clear about getting the waste and fraud out of the military contracting budget and dedicating some of that to a public works program to produce jobs all over the country, repairing America.
Independent Ralph Nader, popular American clothing retailer The Gap, has had a confession to make. Yesterday, they acknowledged that many of their overseas workers are mistreated and vowed to improve shoddy factory conditions by cracking down on unrepentant manufacturers. It was an unusual display of corporate candor. San Francisco-based company made the comments in its first-ever social responsibility report. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Chad, I've got half a mind to do some shopping at Kohl's.
Oh, really?
Yep, I'm halfway out the door.
You are?
Oh, yeah, and that's no half-baked idea.
Okay, Vicky. It's Kohl's 50% off sale, isn't it?
You are more than half right.
Take half off hundreds of items during Kohl's 50% off sale. Save 50% on a huge selection of shorts and sandals. Get half off Mrs. and Junior's capris and skirts, plus all solid bath towels and our entire summer living patio shop are 50% off, too. Don't miss Kohl's 50% off sale this Friday and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Weeds, like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others, can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
It's
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec? Nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
Listen, Bush came down here. We want to send him back.
Everyone's calling Air America Radio.
I've never heard people really, truly own up to the fact that we do have an electoral college, and that is why George Bush won the election.
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
I don't have any problem with them disagreeing with Bush and thinking he's wrong. I think all the Democrats are wrong.
Air America Radio. We're listening.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning. It's Thursday. This show's going out to the spirit of Dead Butch the Cat. My cat had died this morning. Very sad, but we're getting over it. Today we have an all-star version of the liberal agenda. Tim Robbins will be here in the studio, and we'll be giving him today's liberal marching orders in person, plus the presidential palm pilot, morning devotional, news, commentary. Mark Riley's here. Sue Ellicott is here.
Hey.
Chris is here working the board. We're all here together. You know, Tucker Carlson is not here. Thank God, Tucker Carlson. I'd like to pull that little bow tie around his neck until his eyes pop out. Not kill him, but just make him look kind of panicky. His cocky, weird, frenetic confidence makes me nauseous. And now he's going to name his new show Unfiltered, stealing the show title from a couple of women. And Chuck D.
From a couple of women,
he said, what's he think? There's not going to be repercussions? Does he think no one's listening? Tucker Carlson, you can't just steal the show title. You think you're so smart and so good, but you know what? You're annoying. You annoy me like I annoy some other people.
Rachel will bust his behind.
He's like, you know, I understand, like, some people find me annoying because I find him really annoying. But some people also love him, you know? I just want to respond to this email as well, coming from Bob O. Hey, brudda. I don't know how too many working guys on job sites are going to relate to your humor clips where you reference your therapist. Drop and give me 20. Bob, I did it. Not only did I do 20 on the break, I ran around the building and I scaled it. I rappelled down the building and back up all in a half hour. I'm an athletic guy. I'm just multifaceted, sort of a Renaissance man. Do a little therapy, a little working out. I'm not a wuss. All right, okay, I'm right on the wuss cusp, but I'm not a wuss. In most situations, definitely no wuss. Some situations, yes. But I appreciate your input, and I don't want to alienate the guys on the job sites because I think some of them have problems too. And if they could get the therapy, they would if you would let them talk about it freely and not judge them.
Mm-hmm. I think we should suggest Untied as the name for Tucker Carlson's show. Just politely push him in a direction that would, you know, would reference his bow tie.
Yeah, that'd be cute. I'd think Tucker Carlson tied up would be better.
Now, see? Look, I don't know why he would decide to steal Unfiltered, but...
it's wrong.
It's wrong. And Rachel and Chuck will be on the way to visit him at some point later today, I'm sure.
Our producer just made it known to me that we kind of stole our title, too. But no, but our title is a riff on an accepted idea, you know, Morning Edition. You know, it's sedition. It's cute. It's a pun, kind of. It's funny. It's a satirical.
Oh, is that what it was?
We didn't take it from organic apple juice at the farmer's market. Oh.
You know.
Wow.
Jonathan's trying to play both sides of the whatever you call it.
You know what?
In my head.
The other day, I heard you say morning sedition at one of our promos or something. I swear to God, I thought you said horny sedition.
Horny sedition?
Yeah, I swear. If that's what it sounded like. I know you said morning, but suddenly it didn't compute. You know, I'm getting old. I'm a
strong believer in Freud and some of his theories, and certainly the Freudian slip is a real thing. Something might have been percolating under there. You know, my wife is in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
She'll be back soon, though.
I'm thinking about going out there to bury my cat, but I think that might be a little bit much. To fly out
well,
there.
I mean, if you're only going to bury the cat, yeah. But if you're going to see the wife and say hello to people. And
we're planning a big thing. There's going to be a little mini hearse, and there's going to be, like, you know, all the cat friends from the neighborhood are going to walk down the street with flowers.
Have you invited Errol Morris to film?
Yeah, he's going to do it all. They have pet cemeteries, but I don't know if I'm that person. I think we're planning a intimate funeral in the back and maybe put a butch tree there.
So. Oh, wow. Well, things are progressing, I guess, if you want to call it that, on the Iraq front. Donald Rumsfeld is there. Is that progress? Is Donald Rumsfeld's surprise visit to Iraq a signal of progress on any level at all?
I don't know. It's a signal that they know they have to do something serious for damage control for Donald Rumsfeld.
He's going to go right up to Lenny England and kick her right in the ass. That's what he's doing. He's going to Iraq to kick Lenny England
she's
in the
not
ass.
There.
Yeah, she's here.
There. She's
he's going to kick to Jeremy Sivits. He's going to go up and say, you know, he's going to say hi to all the troops out there and go, I'm just here. You're doing a great job. Where's the Sivits kid?
Yeah, I just saw pictures of him on CNN, kind of flanked by all the guys in their military camouflage stuff and photographers. And he was the only one in a blue blazer and tie. And it did not look like appropriate Iraqi garb.
Sivits was?
No,
Ron Gummy.
He looked very, very hot and uncomfortable. Someone should tell him it's okay to remove his jacket.
He's like, we're breaking all digital cameras. Who's got a camera?
Right. How long do you think he stays? That's the interesting.
A day.
A day, yeah. He'll be back
he'll be
before
out.
Dark.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be at that same conservative think tank thing.
I thought he was going to stay and play some golf and do some other stuff.
Sure. Commune with Simit. Kibit, rather. I'm sorry, not Simit.
Kibitz with Kimmit?
Yeah, right.
Kibitz with Kimmit.
Well,
that should be a TV show.
You know, the Senate saw...
Kibitzing with Kimmit.
The Senate saw those abuse photos yesterday.
Yeah.
All 100.
Yeah.
For 3 hours.
Swear to God, Bill Fritz was trying to hide his erection. Swear to God. I'm going to say that twice. Because I want it.
All right. I know you have this whole...
It was wrong, but some part of me thought it was right, and that makes me uncomfortable. I'm looking forward to the prayer breakfast.
I guess it's part of that homoerotic thing that Rush Limbaugh was talking about the other day. I have no idea, but...
Inside of Rush is a little girl saying, help me, help me. Go ahead.
Sorry. Well, I'll tell you what. If it was between you and he in a one of those steel cages, my money's on you.
Really?
Yeah. That's good money.
I just run around for a while until he gets all winded and, cotton starts sweating out of his pores.
Right?
I swear I'm clean. I swear. I don't know what that is.
But what should they do, do you think, with these photographs? Do you think that it will be sensible of them to just get them all out and over with and try and deal with damage control?
Maybe a coffee table book? Coffee table book?
No, see, you're disgusting.
Or should they do what they seem to be doing with coming up with reasons why they can't actually release them? I mean, Rumsfeld has said, I would be happy to publish all the photographs, which is a sure sign he doesn't want to. And then he goes, but now the lawyers have come in and said that they can't actually release them, which I'm sure is a huge relief for the Pentagon. And the White House is putting it all off on the Pentagon, saying, hey, they are the ones who could decide. I mean, what do you think would be better, to not release them or just get them all over and done with?
You know what? It doesn't make a bit of difference because they're all going to turn up on the internet anyway.
Probably, and I think
whether
a lot
they
of them...
release them or not, they're going to be in the public domain probably well before Memorial Day.
But that's the point for people who think that they should, since they will be leaked and they will be out there anyway. Why not just get them all out and over and done with and try to move on?
Aren't they making an excuse saying that some of them are really sexually explicit and some of them aren't even relatable to torture in the sense that some of them are actually just military personnel having sex? Wasn't that released?
There was word about that earlier in the week. I don't know, none of the people, none of the senators who saw the photos came out and...
I shouldn't say that explicit.
They really didn't go into great detail.
Some guys left after 10 minutes. They couldn't handle it. What are they, wusses? I mean, come on, sit there, do your job, look at all of it, and then make a decision. I think they should definitely be out. They should have a separate website. They should be available for everybody to see because plenty of people aren't going to see it.
What, iraqshame.com?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you have John Warner, who's the head of the Senate Armed Services Committee. He's the chair, saying that the releasing these photographs to the public could possibly endanger, he says, the men and women of the armed forces. I mean, aren't they already in danger?
More than they are,
I mean,
exactly.
How would that create any more danger?
What scares me? He's on Kerry's short list to replace Donald Rumsfeld.
Who, Warner?
Yeah. It's Warner, McCain, and there was one other person that he talked about would be his choices. And, of course, he's called for months now for Rumsfeld to get out.
I feel pretty good with McCain. Is that wrong of me? I like McCain.
I think McCain is probably the least offensive Republican I can think of off the top of my head.
But he's probably too smart to want anything to do with it at this point.
To address what you're saying, Sue, I think that... What was I just thinking? Yeah, of course the troops are already in danger, and they're not going to be in any more danger if more of these pictures, come out, because they're already using these pictures to recruit, more terrorists. and it's making us look terrible. But I just, for the American people to make a decision about, you know, Rumsfeld's destiny and the president's destiny, I think it's fair to show all of them.
But I don't think that the public's going to buy that these photographs can't come out. I think there's going to be some grumbling that these have to come out, and, you know, in a timely fashion, if not immediately, at the same time at which there is a thorough investigation that goes on, and that they have some kind of confidence that the criminal justice system is going to call people to account.
Now, are these pictures obviously are not the only copies. I'm assuming the people that took them probably also have negatives or something.
Well, they got a disc, maybe. Someone put them on a disc. It seems like anything that's taken with any camera anymore is going to end up somewhere that you can see it.
Well, yeah, and you know, that's...
Right now we're being photographed. There's a website we can go to and see us right now.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, that sooner or later, even if they decide not to release them, the government decides not to release them publicly, I think what you'll get is one or two soldiers that will release what they have, and then the trickle will turn into a stream, and people, they'll be on websites all over the place.
All it takes is one guy to say, dude, check this out.
Yep.
Okay, well, here's an easy question, maybe. Who is more threatening in terms of their reaction to these photographs, the Iraqi people and how angry they will be, or Americans at home?
Who is more threatening in response?
Who are they more frightened of? Are they more frightened of...
Bush?
Yes.
Are they more frightened of us, of Americans?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Of
no
course.
Doubt. They don't care what the Iraqis think.
No, they. I mean, they would have just kept doing this. I mean, the most... I think the only thing they're really upset about is these pictures got out.
By the way, has anybody joined James Inhofe? Remember he said yesterday, or the day before yesterday, that he wasn't the only one at the table who was outraged by the outrage. Has anybody taken him up on that?
Chambliss, maybe?
We'll talk about it in a minute. We'll be back with the president's palm pilot, Tim Robbins, and more here on Air America Radio.
There's something about me you folks might not know. Nobody likes me. Nobody. Maybe it's because I like to attack people. Men, women, kids. I can reduce them to weak, stammering, confused, scared imitations of their former selves. If they don't stop me, I just might leave them that way for life. I am a stroke.
Recognize the symptoms of a stroke and act quickly. To learn more about stroke, call 1-888-4-STROKE or simply log on to strokeassociation.org. Because time lost is brain lost. A message from Don Rickles. This public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
In 1 year, the average American throws away over 1,600 pounds of trash. But Michigan is getting wise about waste. Amanda Hathaway from WISE, Waste Information Series for Education, explains.
The best thing anyone can do to help prevent all this waste and millions of tons that we're sending to our landfills is to reduce, reuse, and recycle. You can reduce pretty easy. Do things like buy rechargeable batteries, bring a reusable water bottle from home, bring your coffee mug right into work. You need to look for products that are made out of recycled materials because that's what drives the market. So when you're at the store, if you can look for products that say they're made out of recycled materials, that's one of the best ways that you can help recycling.
The alarming news is that over 100 landfills close every year.
So unless you want a landfill in your backyard, better start practicing the 3 R's and reducing, reusing, and recycling your waste.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Mary, can you overnight these to Boston?
Sure, do you want them first thing or... It's a meteor and it's coming right at me!
Not many things knock you out like a migraine.
I suppose you'll want to take the rest of the day off then.
But you can knock out a migraine with Ralpax. Ralpax allotriptan hydrobromide relieves migraine pain and symptoms such as nausea and sensitivity to light and sound. For some people, it starts to work in 30 minutes. Ask your doctor. Call 1-866-3-RALPAX or go to ralpax.com. Ralpax. Don't let a migraine keep you down. Only your doctor can decide if RALPAX is right for you. If you have certain types of heart disease, a history of stroke, TIA, or uncontrolled blood pressure, you should not take RALPAX. Very rarely certain people, even some without heart disease, have had serious heart-related problems. Talk to your doctor if you have risk factors for heart disease, such as smoking, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol, or if you are pregnant or nursing. Certain medicines that are potent CYP3A4 inhibitors should not be taken with RALPAX, so talk to your doctor if you're taking other medicines. See our ad in Fitness Magazine.
Twenty past the hour, the Ozster, Ozzy, old Ozzy. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Reilly and Sue Ellicott, listening to old Black Sabbath music. That's what we do, man. You know, we have this secret life here. You know what I mean? It's real dark in here. We got candles going. And Ozzy playing.
We do better without fluorescence, though, I must say. This is the second day without fluorescent lighting, and I must say I love it.
Yeah, I you know what? We could lose the glow sticks. Those have got a whole new meaning now. That's adolescent humor, for those of you who want to email me about that. Make sure you kick that email in. Talk to me about the adolescent humor, you babies.
That's sedition at airamericaradio.com.
Yeah,
I think the system might crash.
Calling all babies. Thanks for taking their side, Sue. I appreciate it. What do you got, Martha Stewart? Not there's been someone a representative here.
Martha Stewart.
Oh wait.
Martha
wait.
Stewart is still trying to stay out of the big house.
You know what? Okay. Let me do the presidential palm pilot first.
Oh yeah, All right, we'll get to Martha.
You know, I'm all worked up today because I'm in grief. I don't know what I'm going through all the stages of death. You know, denial, grief. You know, because of my little cat and
Butch the cat.
I'm a little distracted. Butch the cat. This is for you. This is the presidential palm pilot. I get it from my guy who downloads it from the Oval Office. His schedule for the day. 8 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. You hate torture even worse today than you hated it yesterday. 10 a.m. Meet with yet another championship team from somewhere or other. Act surprised when they give you a gift of a team jersey with the number one on it. 11 a.m. Remind the country that the last time there was an impeachment, a lot of money was spent, nothing really came of it, so there's no need to consider that again. 1:10 p.m., participate in conservation in high school initiative, Parkersburg, West Virginia. Tell them the conservation of high school students is one of your top priorities. 4 p.m., return to Washington, wander through Rose Garden. 15 minutes later, have medic apply bandages. 7 p.m., speak at American Conservative Union banquet. Tell them the conservation of the American Conservative Union is one of your top priorities. 9 p.m., watch a preview copy of Troy to get ideas for Iraq exit strategy. 11 p.m., bedtime, note. Talk to Rummy tomorrow about building giant wooden horse.
Uh-oh.
You know, not all of that was sophomoric. Some of it may not have been as funny as you like, but it was certainly pleasant to read, and it's nice to know what the president is doing. And let's talk about Martha Stewart.
Wait a minute. You know, something was bothering me during that entire presidential pompon.
Yeah?
Yeah. I always thought there was Hail to the Chief behind it.
No, he changed it.
It's Brendan's fault. Okay.
There was an actual mistake. We went into the PDB music.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Not. Let me make you people. Not you people, but my beloved.
I don't
folks
like to
out
bring
there.
These things up.
These mistakes happen occasionally, but I want you to make sure you know that we're not running a college radio outfit here. We are getting better by the day. By the day. And you know what keeps me strong? You know what keeps me strong in my heart? Is just remembering how much crap my friend Conan O'Brien took for 10 years before he, before people started to like him, growing and working through stuff and getting wise and mature on the air. You know, that was nothing that should indict Brendan in the booth just because clearly he was paying attention to a bong or something. I'm kidding.
Now we can talk about Martha Stewart.
Let's go. This is important stuff. Martha Stewart.
Martha is still trying to stay out of jail. Okay, she's facing up to a year in prison. This is, of course, for lying about a stock sale that she
Free Martha
trying to avoid about 50 long in losing. Or I think it was 60.
65, I think.
Was it 65?
Something like that.
Okay.
65 grand. You know, chump change.
Chump change to Martha. Well, now Congresswoman Nydia Velazquez, whose bedroom must be filled with Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart must have done her apartment. You know what I mean?
Well, she's asked the judge who presided over Ms. Stewart's trial to sentence her to community service at a training center for low-income women in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Now, for those of you who are not from New York, Bushwick was the ground zero of the 1977 blackout. Mm-hmm. They totally destroyed that entire community. Mm-hmm. There was no, maybe three businesses were left standing after that blackout. It was just completely destroyed. And they've been trying to work their way back ever since. And Bushwick is one of those communities now that has not quite been discovered yet by the trendoids. They've already taken over Williamsburg in Brooklyn, which is the adjacent neighborhood.
They've gotten to the edge of it.
To the edge of Bushwick.
They're still frightened.
Yes, they're still frightened. And Nydia Velasquez, who's been in Congress and represented that district for quite a while, says that the Maura Clark Ida Ford Center could use the skills, the entrepreneurial skills mm-hmm. of Martha Stewart.
Not to mention a new name.
Well, those are two revered people in the Bushwick community.
I know, but it's kind of a long name, isn't it? Maura Clark, Ida Ford Center. Yeah. It's a bit of a mouthful.
I don't know who they are, and I'm not going to comment. I don't want to get in any kind of trouble on that level.
Okay, I think it could be a good thing for everybody.
Martha
Stewart. Because maybe, you know, clearly training for women at the center would be great if it is about passing on business skills, and maybe the women could help Martha lower her prices, make her stuff, you know, more affordable and more realistic for more people.
I think they should also use some of her decorating intuitions and her. I think they should use everything Martha Stewart comes with to help the neighborhood. I think that, you know, she should share her recipes freely with everybody there. I think that she should, you know, suggest paint colors and redoing buildings. They should make her spend a huge amount of money on reviving the neighborhood for the people that live there now.
I think that would work. And I think that if she is able to pass on skills, if she's sincere about doing penance for what she did, then the women in this center would be the best for it. And, yeah, it's a long name, the Maura Clark Ida Ford Center, but it's no longer than U.S. District Court Judge Miriam Goldman Cederbaum, the person who's eventually going to hear, you know, who's going to be the one that sentences her anyway, okay?
I think we can safely say it will be Martha's first trip to Bushwick.
Yeah, I would say maybe it might be her first trip to Brooklyn in general. And, again, Brooklyn, folks, for those of you who have never been here, is the largest population-wise of New York City's five boroughs.
It's huge. You know, you can see, like, you don't. A lot of people don't realize that Brooklyn is its own city. Chris lives there, Bay Ridge, right?
Yep. It used to be its own city until New York was consolidated in 1898.
I haven't been
Brooklyn
there in a while.
Was a separate city.
Really?
She probably recognizes it from the view out of the Range Rover on the Long Island Expressway on the way out to the Hamptons.
Absolutely.
The luxury resort on the eastern end of Long Island, for those of you not in New York.
She's from New Jersey originally, though, right?
Yeah.
I thought Poland.
No,
Jersey.
Her family's Polish originally.
Yeah. Isn't everyone from New Jersey? From Poland?
No, don't do that.
The only reason I'm saying that is because my family, my grandmother, was born in Poland and lived in New Jersey, Pompton Lakes, New Jersey, where my mother grew up and where, you know, I lived for a few years, Wayne, New Jersey, northern Jersey.
Oh, you were in Wayne?
I was in Wayne briefly as a child. Don't remember much about it, but I do remember some kid threw something, can at me and cut
and
my eye.
Left.
Yeah, and I ran away crying.
Wow.
But I got nothing against New Jersey. My heart is actually from New Jersey. I was born in Jersey City.
The transplant came from New Jersey.
Yeah, I was born in Jersey City. My father was born in Jersey. My mother was born in Jersey. If I hadn't been swept away to New Mexico, you know, I would have been a Jersey kid.
You know, Jersey is, quiet as it's kept, the most diverse state in America.
Green, too, man. You used to get the best tomatoes in Jersey. It is really the Garden State, and it's lush. A lot of people don't realize that. It gets a bad rap.
Well, and especially if you're just looking at Elizabeth and Newark.
And Jersey City. And Bayonne.
And home of Willowbrook Shopping Center, of course, New Jersey.
That Paramus is Wayne. Park that Mall. Was Wayne, right? Paramus Park. Well, Paramus.
That was like the first food court. Did you know that, Riley? That my grandmother took us there because she's like, you're not going to believe it. You can get food from everywhere upstairs at Paramus Park.
Yep.
It was like a huge breakthrough in mall design.
And culture.
Yes.
Such as it is.
Yes.
Up next, actor and activist Tim Robbins joins us. Plus, the morning devotional and the liberal agenda. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
Mom. Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love, usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is in Baghdad for a first-hand visit to the infamous Abu Ghraib prison and for a pep talk with the troops. Their morale is at an all-time low, largely fueled by the prisoner abuse scandal in recent weeks. Left to him, Rumsfeld told the press in Baghdad this morning that all the abuse photos would be released. He would like to see the whole matter go away. Meanwhile, Brigadier General Mark Kimmett is saying that Rumsfeld is concerned now how the Iraqis look at him since the photos have been seen around the world. India's prime minister will resign in just a few hours, this after a stunning victory in parliamentary elections for the country's opposition party. And speaking of elections, New York's junior U.S. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton says, forget about her sharing the ticket with Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry in the fall. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
I went to turn off my computer last night, and a window came up asking if I was sure I wanted to shut down. Am I sure? How can I be sure about anything when I'm trying to sell my house?
If you're looking to sell your house, Coldwell Banker can ease your mind. Our extensive online exposure means your home gets shown through award-winning local and national websites. Coldwell Banker. Visit ColdwellBanker.com. All offices independently owned and operated, except offices owned and operated by Energy Incorporated.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Cold Ease lozenges, clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Cold Ease's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Cold Ease lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Cold Ease nasal spray.
So what else is news?
American Idol could break its rating record this week, and the local Fox affiliates hope that'll carry over to their evening newscasts.
Air America's Marty Kaplan.
American Idol's a cheap way to fill up an hour of prime time. Local news is filled with weather, crime, celebrity murders, celebrity trials, celebrity eating disorders, you know. But there is hope.
Marty Kaplan, evening 7 to 8 on Air America Radio.
Good morning. This is Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. I am Mark Maron. I am here with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott, and Tim Robbins, who has a lot of adjectives in front of his name these days. Oscar winner is the one his publicist likes. There's also director, writer of his new play, Embedded, actor in the upcoming movie Code 46, and lately semi-professional radio show guest on Air America Radio.
Hey, Mark.
He joined us today in the studio because it was our turn, apparently. Got up nice and early, huh? Were you like, really? What time's that one?
I'm not up yet.
Oh, he's not up yet. What, Sue?
I didn't want to be pedantic or anything, but you know what? They're nouns. They're not adjectives. They're nouns.
Oh, yeah. In front of his name, he's Oscar Win. That's true. That's true.
He's a director, yeah. Okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, Oscar sleepy. That's the idea. He is sleepy.
Wait, let me rephrase it. Oscar winning. Directing man, directing.
You're just talking about hyphenates. You're not talking about.
How about
Sleepy?
Sleepy.
Exactly.
Sleepy.
Back to middle school for you.
You already said that.
Coffee drinking or water drinking. You know, that's another gerund.
She hasn't called me stupid all day.
Don't worry, there's still time.
Essential adjective.
So Tim, you're up at the show late. Your show Embedded is running at Joe's.
No, it's Public Theater.
Public Theater.
Yeah. Yeah, we were up pretty late last night after the show.
Yeah, how'd it go? Was it packed and people responded well to it?
It's great. It's been really enthusiastic crowds and great response and consistently fun to do. And
what's the show about? How does it unfold?
The show is set in a fictional land called Gomorrah, but it's closely mirrors what's happening, what was happening last year in the war in Iraq. And we try to find the satirical humor in it, and it's also about three soldiers, and we follow their stories, including one that's parallel to Jessica Lynch.
Oh, so but it's mostly funny, though, yeah?
Well, yes, it's
poignant.
I think the comedy comes from whenever we visit Washington in the Office of Special Plans, you have six people that are kind of running things, and they're the buffoons in the piece.
it's kind of a tragedy if you're mirroring this Washington.
Yeah. It's got some moments of, one thing I wanted to do from the start is when we were telling the stories of the soldiers, to treat those with respect and try to understand what it must be like to be over there and to be. And in Jessica Lynch's case, to have one version of the truth and then have an entirely different story created around her experience.
How do you think she what is your thoughts on that? That she was just mythologized
immediately by people that wanted to create a story. And in fact, 2 days after it happened, I read in the Guardian they sent reporters to that hospital.
Right.
And I read this other version, which was that the doctor actually took very good care of her and got to know her pretty well.
They needed a heroic narrative immediately.
They needed something, but what was odd about it was when you read the real story, it's a much better story about why we're there, why we're there to help.
Yeah.
You have a doctor that is helping her because he wants to see the United States succeed. It's a much better story than the one,
and a human story that's real. And there was another woman there too. I read that there was another woman that went through roughly the same thing she did, but was not depicted at all because she wasn't.
Pretty enough.
She might have been African American. I can't remember what the issue was, but it was different.
I thought it was really admirable, by the way, how her parents handled themselves. I mean, they did not do the Larry King every appearance on television thing. They were very protective of their daughter. They knew something was wrong with the way it was described.
And then they said, "How much money are we?"
Yeah. No.
They weren't just holding out for the Diane Sawyer interview. Right.
No, they did. They did do a book, and I think the reason why she did the book was to say, "Wait a second, I'm not that person. I'm not a hero. I'm a victim of a tragedy." And that's it. Don't try to make me into this.
But what was amazing at the time when you mentioned that Guardian story, that I read that because I was living in London then, and I emailed it to friends at various networks, television networks here and newspapers, and they were like, nah, that's not what we're hearing.
No, we like our version better.
They just weren't interested. Like I was some nutcase trying to, you Europeans would say that we're trying to create a hero and one wasn't there.
Well, they spin everything immediately, don't they? If you can't even criticize this administration without them saying you're crazy, you're a conspiratorial thinker, you're with the terrorists, it happens immediately.
Yeah, no, it happens immediately and it happens in a big way.
Like it happened to you when you were at the Baseball Hall of Fame thing.
When we started speaking out against the war, the second we stepped out, it was like.
But has it ever been like that in your studies of history that were, maybe not since McCarthyism, that like you can't say anything critical of a government without being, in collusion with the terrorists?
I think we're finding more and more that this administration is incredibly paranoid and incredibly distrustful of any kind of debate. And that has been the case since the beginning of this administration. I remember protesting against Reagan and the first Bush, and I remember a couple times them saying when protests were happening, well, I disagree, but they have the right to say it.
Right.
That kind of approach. Whereas this administration takes the approach as they did with the Dixie Chicks when when Bush was interviewed by Brokaw, he said, listen, the Dixie Chicks shouldn't get their feelings hurt if people don't buy their albums.
Right.
Which is it's essentially, advocating a boycott.
And they feed a very sort of a type of fury that happens in America. You know, if people are fueled by fear and ignorance, they almost put it on the mobs. The onus is on them. We're not saying you shouldn't do that, but if you want to hate these people and make life hard for them, go ahead. You work with them or you're with them or somehow.
Right, right.
He has a point, though, Bush, though. I mean, he really shouldn't have his feelings hurt if we don't vote for him.
Yeah, I agree.
So the power of satire is sometimes more efficient in conveying the truth than the media. Well,
No.
Well, you know, the important thing when you're dealing with stuff like this, as you guys know, is you got to find the humor, or you're going to be in a pit of hell. You know?
Were there moments during the production where you're like, wow, that joke ain't working?
No, there were moments in the workshop when we were workshopping it.
Right, that's what I mean.
And
yeah.
We said, yeah, well, that's not going to work. We gotta find something funnier there.
Were you surprised sometimes when you were workshopping it in front of audiences? You could tell, because, you know, I do comedy, and you can tell when something goes too far, and you want it to go too far, but were there moments where you're like, wow, we just pushed that way out?
No, there's a couple moments where, even still, when people gasp in the audience.
Well, that's good, right?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. And you're acting in it now?
Yeah. I'm in. I'm playing a couple parts, and it's so much fun. It's I play Carl Rove, actually.
Oh, wow. Do a Carl Rove
for us.
Yeah,
can give us a little Carl Rove?
Well, it's actually a combination of Carl Rove and
a pit bull.
And Rush Limbaugh.
Nice. We want to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to come down to the
So you're going to hang out, right?
Yeah, I'll
be right. We're going to hang out with Tim Robbins some more, so come back and continue with us in this conversation. The number here is 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0.
You still have to look at that?
Yeah, if you want to talk to us or talk to Tim about satire, the media, or just about his life here on Air America Radio.
You want your own official Air America Radio T-shirt, tote bag, travel mug, and baseball cap? Go to www.cafepress.com/AirAmericaRadio, and you can buy Air America Radio T-shirts and much, much more. Yes, these items include the Air America Radio classic thong and dog shirt. Note, these are two separate items. Don't put a thong on your dog. That's wrong. So visit cafepress.com/AirAmericaRadio today. That's cafepress.com/AirAmericaRadio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most?
your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Good morning. There's a not-so-liberal dose of Aerosmith. I could use a little more. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Our guest in the studio, Tim Robbins, is here. We're taking your calls for Tim, 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We got Pete in Chicago. Pete, what's going on?
Hi, Tim. Just wanted to call in and apologize. I didn't agree with you speaking your mind before the war. I thought it was inconceivable that our government would lie about the weapons of mass destruction. You and your wife and others are heroes for standing up. You know, I just wanted to say how sorry.
Oh, well, that's very sweet of you. Thanks a lot.
Wow.
He's looking relieved, Pete.
No, that's pretty nice.
That's a
sincere moment of humility that, you know, you guys had the guts as the select few people that actually stood up to this administration and were actually right.
I fought with my sister on that, about Tony Blair, and she said, well, you know, I think he must be right, because otherwise, you know, why would he be saying it? Like, I can't believe this is my sister.
But you know what?
From the same parents.
There's a price to be paid for doing this sort of thing. And I think a lot of people really don't understand. It's not just about whether somebody's going to invite you to Cooperstown or whatever. There's a price to be paid for being very public and being very active. Talk a little bit about that.
You get invited to fewer parties.
Hey, but you came to ours.
Did you feel that weird, like, you know, when I started doing comedy about what happened after 9/11 and the reaction, like, when you talk, there's this weird sort of, did you feel that weird surge of, like, you know, you were really, you know, in the present and saying something that's going to have an impact?
Yeah, I did, and I also knew from past experience, the second this happens, I knew it was coming. I knew the onslaught of crap,
contempt and spin.
It was, you know, and so it becomes a choice. You know, you say, it really is a matter of, I can't shut up. I can't not say something.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. I've got a forum. There's so much lying going on. Someone's got to say something. And you know what? If it was up to me, I wouldn't. I would rather, you know, just talk about my hair and shoes.
But you're looking good.
Thank you.
The sunglasses are nice, too. Wendy in Connecticut. Wendy, you got something you want to say to Tim?
Well, I was just going to say, excuse me, Wendy, a second. But the problem is there was no opposition party last year. There was no, there were Democrats were not asking the question. So why is it that actors have to do that?
And didn't you find that some people you thought you knew, like right when the fear set in and you know, 9/11 happened, that you found you didn't know really what they thought and how freaked out? I found that so many of my friends were completely reactionary racist, completely frightened, and were saying things. I was like, who the hell are you? I don't even know you.
Yeah, I did find that.
It's wild. Wendy, sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to say first condolences about your cat.
Thank you.
And I saw Embedded this weekend, this past weekend.
Yeah.
And I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was funny and chilling. And did a lot of, you know, I mean, there's so much stuff that's just like left there by the mainstream media, and it's not answered.
Mm-hmm.
By, you know, wait a minute, this is not right. You're lying here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just stuff that needs to be said, and says we need to talk back, and, you know, can't just leave this stuff.
Well, thanks for calling, Wendy.
That's what's been so exciting about doing the play is you can tell there's a real palpable energy in the audience of people that are, you know, either saying finally or thank you for going here and doing this and thanks for talking this material. And we do talk back sometimes where we get incredible conversations going with the audience about...
After the show?
Yeah, about what's going on right now.
People, like, even with what we're doing here, it's amazing, like, you know, people would come up to you, and they're elated. You know, they're like, thank God, I can't, you know, I'm not alone anymore in feeling like this. You know, finally this stuff is getting out to people. They literally get electric.
Well, now we understand what the whole phenomenon of talk radio on the conservative side is. Mm-hmm. What it is, it's reaffirmation of some people's frustrations.
Yeah.
And the fact that... There's been so much of that reaffirming ostensibly lies and prejudices and shallow thinking.
And on purpose, it's a construct. There is no left-wing media, really. The right-wing have taken over the cultural language. I'm sorry, Sue.
Sorry, Tim Robbins, we're talking to you about a bit about being outspoken, criticizing the Bush administration.
Did you just have your hand up?
we have to do that.
Yes, a school thing.
That was so polite and cute.
We'll step on each other.
Please, miss, may I ask Tim a question? Yeah, I get a point for that. But what do you think about Kerry, and actually what do you think about Nader, and how much of a problem is Nader like to be this year?
Well, personally, I'm becoming disappointed already. The fact that Kerry seems to be drifting to the middle ground, and I really think the way to win this election is to find a way to motivate all those people that don't vote and the progressive side of the party. I think that it's a tactical error to alienate your activist base, and I fear that Democrats are about to do it again, just like they did with Gore. The Republicans have been very smart for years and years playing to their activist base. Right. They don't give them everything, but they tell them that they know that they're there and that they're a valid part of their party, and they make them feel involved and wanted.
Connected to something bigger than themselves.
Right. And if you're an ex-Nader supporter or a current Nader supporter, they're not giving you any reason to vote for them.
Right. That's you.
Well, that's me. I have a feeling I'm so scared of another 4 years of Bush, but I think maybe it's a good thing that Nader's still in because he might force Kerry to address the fact that there's millions of people out there on the left that want more than the middle.
All right, we'll be back with more of that thought and more of Tim Robbins after this on Air America Radio.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at gemhr.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
I'm really impressed with Cortislim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since Cortislim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's Cortislim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with Cortislim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. in business and socially. Your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Good morning. We're coming in for landing here on Morning Sedition. I am Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. We were sitting here having a nice chat with Tim Robbins, who you should all know. So, Tim, what is the, in your eyes, what is the responsibility of the artists in these politically trying times, sir?
Oh, that's a heavy question.
I know it.
It's up to the artist, really.
Yeah.
I think it's just as important to do something completely silly and make people laugh and or to do a romance or to a love song, you know, that can lift your spirits.
Yeah.
I think it's just all important.
As long as it's done with a certain amount of heart and humanity.
Yeah.
In the film Rock the Cradle.
Cradle of Rock,
yeah. The whole, the muralist. What was his name? Was not
Diego Rivera.
Diego Rivera. That whole struggle, I mean, it must speak to something that you're sort of, you know, concerned with in terms of, you know, creating a cultural dialogue around political injustice with art.
Well, I think it's one thing that I want to do. I also started a band, so
yeah.
I like to play loud music.
What do you play?
Play guitar really badly.
How many people in the band?
Five.
Yeah, I love to play guitar.
There's nothing better.
It's relieving.
You know, if they could figure out a way, we could do movies where, you know, after a take, there'd be like 20 women out there going, woo! That'd be great.
It's just a rock star fantasy thing, then. It's not actually the playing. It's the reaction.
I'm the best guitar player in my bedroom. The best, man. I just sit there and
I love
jam.
Drumming.
Huh?
Drumming is my thing.
You drum?
Yeah. I started drumming when I was 8 years old.
We're going to have to play, then.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm
okay,
start
I'll
a band.
Sing. I can start a morning edition band. Okay.
Well, it's now I'm just going to be sort of how was it? What was it like when you won the Oscar? How'd that feel?
That felt great.
I bet it felt great.
Were you
just sitting there like, oh, it better be me?
No, I just everyone was. Here's the thing: everyone was saying it was going to happen, so you know that's the worst because then.
So you really already knew?
Well, no, it was. You know, it means that the fall's a lot bigger if you don't get it. You know what I mean? Everyone's saying for months they're saying, oh no, you're winning, and like.
That's where I think the other guys ought to get, you know, Oscars or awards for pretending like you're not incredibly upset when you lose on that show.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound with our liberal marching orders for today. Get your pencils out. Tim is going to read them.
That'd be number one. Pressure school board. Whining should be taught as a second language.
Yeah.
Refuse to subscribe to this season's children's theater unless they do a production of Urinetown.
Or embedded.
Three. Sign a petition to allow patients to use medical marijuana. Then sign anti-smoking petition.
Yes.
Four. Take God out of all public forums unless he's being desecrated in fetishistic art.
Absolutely.
Five, spread vicious rumors that John Ashcroft is straight.
Ooh. Right.
Ouch.
That's a liberal agenda. Ouch. Ooh.
Ouch indeed.
Well, man, thanks for finally stopping by. If you're ever up again or you can't sleep, you know.
Insomnia, come on by.
Like, you know, like, oh, man, it's 6:30. What am I going to do? Just
oh, you know, sometimes
here.
I party all night. I'll come in.
Yeah.
I'm here.
I'm here. Smells like
let me on the air. Come on, let me in the room.
Robin's just banging outside.
Yep. I'm not drunk.
Really, thanks for coming.
That's all right. We got compliance security, that's for sure. Thanks for being the... Come back again, please.
We have security? Amazing.
Yeah.
I got through them today.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, it's not difficult.
I said I'm famous.
Coming up on tomorrow's Morning Edition, we're taking on the Christian Taliban. Plus, we'll talk to the guy who's speaking the truth about Diebold. That's tomorrow's Morning Edition here on Air America Radio.
I said that too, and it worked.
Spring is my least favorite season. My allergies act up so bad, I feel like I need one of those surgeon's masks to go outside. I tried Claritin and Benadryl Allergy, but they never really worked for me. Then I found out they're only made to help some of my symptoms. I needed something that would help all of them. Tylenol Allergy Sinus provides complete relief from itchy, watery eyes and runny nose, as well as sinus pain, pressure, and congestion. Stop. Think. Tylenol. Use only as directed.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.